Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe. Hi.
We're back.
We're back. There's a lot going on today. There's a spider has positioned itself right above my head on the ceiling, and I'm
it's causing
terrified.
A lot of drama.
It's actually giving me so much anxiety
and
so,
scaring Ryan.
Yeah, so
it's not moving. It hasn't moved, and we spotted it about 20 minutes ago, so I think it's fine.
It's out to get me.
I'm glad that it's in your house instead of my house.
We live next door. It could totally travel to yours.
I don't know. I've been like really deep cleaning lately and eliminating all spider dens.
All right, fair enough. My anxiety has caused me to have some wine. We've never had some wine on the podcast.
This is
before,
a landmark
ever.
Event.
Yeah.
Called We're Having a Glass of Wine.
I kind of already hate it.
Because we...
I like to be completely crystal clear for my readers. And I feel like I'm already like wasted. I had one sip.
Well, it is a white wine, which really gets me.
I don't have white wine. I was craving a Gruner today. So I immediately hightailed it to the domain. I said, give me a Gruner immediately. Then I talked to Jill, who owns Domain LA. And she... pointed me toward an Oregon Gruner, which I was surprised by because all Gruner is made in Austria, or so I thought.
Ryan's been like wanting to talk about Gruner to anyone that would listen, and me and the producer Sammy that's here are not engaging with him on
Sammy
the
hates
level.
The Gruner.
Sammy hates the
I'm
Gruner.
I'm obsessed with how much she hates the Gruner.
I like
obsessed.
The Gruner. Ryan wants to talk about the Gruner, but neither of us will go there, and so now he's putting
well,
his
it was,
Gruner
it was,
tales
it was
on
a,
the readers.
It was a lively day. I went to Domain. Jill,
what did you do today?
Jill,
you went to
you
the
mean?
Wine store?
Yeah, but I went to my trainer. I worked on me and Jonathan's movie, which is almost done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and got a massage by a guy who had cerebral palsy.
Oh, love.
Yeah, just in his foot. I was like, must be nice.
Wait, how can you get it just in your foot?
I don't know.
Wait, you can get it in just one.
Yeah, like, well, it affects, like, it can affect, like, one area. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he just got lucky. He just like, had a, and he gave a great massage. I was like, my sister supporting each other.
I love that.
Yeah. Then I went to
Friends for Life.
Then I went to I got shaved today.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you look
was,
youthful.
Which was crazy because I realized that there's just like four zits that have been like lurking underneath my facial hair. And now they're just like prime time real estate on my face. You know what I mean?
I only see one, but oh, okay. It's fine.
And then I was like, I'm craving a Gruner. So I left. This day is so dark.
What a day.
And yet, not uncommon. So then I went to Domain. Dylan, the other one who worked at Domain, pointed me to a Gruner that was made in Austria, obviously. But then Jill swooped in and said, no. And then pointed me to one in Oregon. And then here we are. It's
I'm
really
like,
thrilling. I know.
It's like. What? What did you say?
Lol. Okay, so.
Will I wake up from this nightmare? Yes or no?
We have a guest today. By the way,
we do have a guest today.
I had dinner with Carly last night, who was on the podcast, and she goes, you are the worst at introing. Like, she's like, you don't introduce people. You just start talking to them. It's true.
You just like loop them into the conversation.
Well,
but we were better about it last week.
With Tracy, I thought we were, but we're being
I
bad
had to
now.
Intervene.
Well, because Melissa's here, but we'll get to that.
But that's like a thing where you introduce, you can talk and have banter, and then you can introduce the guest.
Right.
You just have to like do like an intro.
Yeah.
Say, and now we have a special guest.
It's funny seeing people not able to speak. Cause she's mute.
She wants to talk.
She wants to talk, you can tell.
I feel bad
like,
too.
When Jim Parsons was on.
But then I also
on,
like it. It's a sense of control.
Yo, me too. I kind of do too. It's like I'm a podcast top. Who knew?
Should we start having guests on and not ever introduce them or
yes!
allow them to speak?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. And just have them sitting with us and not say a goddamn
not
thing.
Not say anything.
And still say
not even laugh.
Featuring whoever.
Yeah.
And then
and then make them promote it on social media. But they were never,
they never, got never to
allowed
speak.
To utter a sound.
Oh, that is a good idea, honey. I'm loving that. No, we have a really good one today, so I think we should let her speak.
Yeah.
But Jim was struggling when he was on. He was like, I want to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he couldn't until he could. So basically, what are we talking about? Oh. I want to talk about some babes of the week, which I know is kind of, we're going out of order here.
Yeah. But we can go right into a babe of the week.
So my babe of the week, well, there's two of them. Well, Sky Mail, let's call it Sky Mail. People ask me like, what's going on with Sky Ferrer?
And yeah, I don't know what to tell them.
I don't know what to tell them because the answer is nothing. She's been in the studio. She's been in the studio forever. She's in the studio now. She's recording. She's sleeping 2 hours a night. She's having a really hard time. She's literally like, I've been, no, it's always
you could
like,
just no. cut and paste whatever you said last time.
No,
for
I know.
What Sky's going through
she
this
literally,
time.
Like last week, she was like, I've been up for 20 hours laying down vocals with a cold sinus infection, fever, 404 degrees, and like no one cares. Like literally, like it's the same shit over and over again. So she's recording.
Do you think Sky
promising.
Has a therapist?
No, I think she has a drug dealer, which is often the same thing, is it not?
But like, no one in her life has been like, hey, maybe you should go to therapy. Like,
I think that Sky keeps it close.
Sky Cave.
Sky's in the Sky Cave. And
she's in the Sky Mall.
Yeah, she's in the Sky Mall doing Sky Mail, doing Sky whatever. The Sky does have limits. Who would have known? The Sky has limits. That's fun. That's what we should call the section of Sky for Sky has limits.
So did she do any social media updating?
She was, yeah, from the studio, and she was really tired, and she's like, I've been awake for 48 hours, I have a fever, like it's just nonstop fucking
I'm
drama
like, go
with
to
her.
Sleep, go to sleep!
Yeah, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep! And then my other babe of the week, which is like, okay, I actually would love to have her on the podcast. Let's, like, secret that. Jemima Kirk, she, mm-hmm. Page Six reported that she had a stoop sale for her, like, for her brownstone, which she's selling for, like, $4.5 million. And she was having a stoop sale, and she was apparently selling unopened girl DVD box sets. LOL! And then making people Venmo her for them.
That's
LOL.
Smart.
No, I know, it's totally smart, but it's like kind of LOL. I'm like, you're having a stoop sale for your multi-million-dollar brownstone, and you're selling off like sweat, like your own show that you talk shit about every season. I love Jemima, because literally, I've never had someone be cast on an HBO show, and then in interviews be like, I fucking hate this show, I wish I could go back to my painting. And it's like, I'm obsessed.
I love that, though. She's doing
a really chic
smart actress thing where you just, like, pretend that you
that
don't
you're
like
not an
anything and that
like
you're
me.
Not an actress. Yeah,
yeah,
you do this
I'm
game.
Doing that all the time.
Ryan's...
Wait, I had a breakthrough in acting class yesterday.
Oh, what was your breakthrough? Oh, my God. Tell me everything.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
What is your acting teacher like?
P.S. Oh, her name is Myra. She's
like, what's her vibe?
She's fun. We get along really well.
Yeah.
She's like my mommy.
Is she like intense? Is she like, get to the scene?
Kind of. Well, really? Like, we lol until we don't lol. Like, it's very much like, okay, back to business. Like, it's like, okay. You know what I mean? I love her.
She cracks the whip on you?
She cracks the whip, but we also like lol and have fun. We like, we've gotten kind of close. It's like a weird relationship, you know, an acting teacher and her. It's really intimate. I'm learning that.
What was your breakthrough?
So basically, I was doing a challenging scene, and it was hard for me to access emotionally.
Do you do you do any scenes outside of like...
No. Oh, like, okay. Hamlet or some shit? Yeah. No, I do not do
so
that.
So you're not classically trained then? Anyways, go on.
Shut up. So anywho, then my character comes in and he has to tell his mom like what he wants. He wants to, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but he has to talk about what he wants. And I like was having a hard time really accessing the frustration and the anger. So she was like, tell me what you want. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, tell me like what you want right now. And I'm like, what, like in general? And she goes, yeah. And so then I had to like talk about all the things I wanted that I wasn't getting. And
what did you say?
No, it's actually too dark to share on the podcast.
No, I need to know.
No, I can't talk about one crucial thing.
Okay, that's
which
fine.
Which was hilarious.
But you're like, I want a Gruner, but Jill says I only come from Austria, but then Jill recommended an Oregon
I
one.
Literally said I want to go to Provincetown. I do, because I do.
Because you definitely
this
do.
This summer, I want to do it. And I want a dog, which we can't talk about anymore.
Oh, my God.
But it was a safe space with me and Myra. I can be myself around her.
She's like support. She's like playing into your like dog. Me. Yeah. She's like, so, you should get a dog.
No, but you know what? She told me not to buy a house.
Yeah.
She told me it was the wrong time to buy a house, which I was like, which I was like, Myra, I get it. She's a homeowner. She gets it. She goes, it's an 8 to 10 year cycle. We're on year 8. She's like, don't buy a house. She's like, we're going to hit the bubble. I mean, I already know that because I'm literally on Redfin every day and I see a listing for literally like a pothole in the ground on Sunset go for $2 million. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't the right time to buy.
Yeah, no.
So I'm just like,
it's really, time to die, not time
yeah,
to buy.
Yeah, it's exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so basically she broke me down to build me up again and it worked. So I channeled my anger and frustration in my own wants and needs. And then I did the scene completely the way I needed to do it initially.
Oh my God, I love that.
I know. It was really cool. It was really cool. No, cause like I was like, I want this and then what's this? She goes, tell me more. Tell me again. And I would be like, okay. And then she's like, do it again. And then I was like, okay. She's like, again. And I was like, ah, like literally. And I like lost my shit and I got really emotional and I was just like, ah, and it was like freaky and I had to catch my breath and it was like nuts.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm watching Barry on HBO and it's like really resonant with me.
You're acting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't murder people, but I do want to be an actor. Just kidding. I don't want to be an actor. So anyway, what's going on with you?
Jemima. Well, I've been just working out and not barfing, which is new for me because every time I've worked out in the past few weeks, I've been like puking during class.
Melissa, can you believe anyone listens to this podcast, by the way? Literally, I'm talking about my acting class. She's talking about vomiting during workouts. And we're like, yeah, it's best. It's the best.
It's compelling.
I don't know.
It's oddly compelling.
It's camp-pelling. It's campy as fuck.
It does something for people.
Yeah, I don't know. God bless.
It does something for me.
It does something for me too.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so you're vomiting. You're not vomiting.
Not vomiting. Feeling stronger every day. Just like doing my sprints. And, you know, it's good. I'm realizing that I need to start waking up really early in the morning. Like I need to be up by 6 so that I can do everything. No, just so that I can do everything that I need to do in a day, which is something I've really been trying to fight against because yeah. I don't want to wake up early. Right. Like I just want to do.
That's really early. 6 a.m.
I know, but like my best self on my best self schedule is like waking up at 6 a.m., going to a 6:30 workout and then being ready to work by 9:30 a.m. Like
see, that's I'm eaten, the opposite. I need if I work out before I write, I'm done. I'm spent. So I need to write immediately and then I work out in the afternoon.
See, I have to have a reason to get out of bed in the morning and the workout same, is what fair, gets okay. me out of bed.
Okay.
And like if
not
I don't
writing.
No,
she can't get
absolutely
out.
Not.
Nope. She definitely
I'm
won't
like
get out of bed for writing.
Starting another podcast so that I don't have to write. Like I literally will do anything to not write.
Yeah,
something.
you don't like to write.
I don't like it sometimes, but no, I mostly
you mostly
hate
it.
Yeah. But there's fulfilling parts.
Like being a
TBD
New York
what
Times
they
bestseller.
Are. Yeah.
Oh my God, wait, I just realized that there's 2 New York Times bestselling authors. No.
Just one, I guess.
My Wait, that's actually crazy because
this is a really good intro, by the way.
Wait,
you're killing it
on
the intro.
Wait. Okay. That was not I'm actually shook right now because your book sold a bunch of copies and you know it did.
Can we
okay,
just
wait, sorry.
Can we
we'll
intro?
Introduce her? Okay,
okay
I'm sorry.
You.
I'm sorry. So our guest today
not all at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
To be a bestseller, they have to all go at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so let me introduce our guest. She is amazing. I love her. Her name is Melissa Broder. What?
Melissa iconic
Broder. Wait,
to
wait,
me.
Hold on. Iconic to me. But listen, so Melissa Broder is a rare breed in the sense that she's a poet who has actually made it and been like really successful. It's true. And she has this very successful Twitter account, So Sad Today, which then she turned into a very successful book of personal essays.
Not a New York Times bestseller,
but it
I think
sold
it was a bestseller somewhere.
I'm sure it did because it
yeah.
sold a
like
lot.
Like in Detroit or something.
And then she has a new book coming out called The Pisces, which is at May 1st. And it's fucking incredible.
I can't wait to read that.
It's your first fiction foray, no?
First foray.
Well, honey, I was sold. I read it in a day. I was at Rancho Valencia and I just devoured it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. What? I'm serious.
There's a lot of pussy eating.
Love. And there's a lot
That's
of.
That's what the world needs.
Yeah.
More.
Oh, for sure. And there's a lot of merman sex.
Sheep.
Which is something I never thought I would respond to. I'm not like I'm judging it because I literally jerked off to like incest porn today. But I mean.
What's the plot of the book?
Like text
for our read or for the readers.
So the hi, readers. Wait, the readers.
We call them.
We
the
call
readers.
Our listeners readers.
Hi guys.
We're crazy like that.
So wild. Anyways.
Yeah.
So like the thing. Like okay. The narrative, like the log line.
Yeah.
Give me a woman.
I love a log
line. The law line.
A woman moves to Venice Beach for a summer and falls into romantic obsession with a merman whose tail starts below the dick.
Yeah.
Chic.
That's really, Laura, you would love it.
No, I'm obsessed.
It
I'm
is
sweating.
So good. It's really interesting because it's actually very erotic. Like I would say it's like literotica sometimes, TBH.
Well, yeah.
But it's like also, but it's also in true Melissa Broder fashion, it's very bleak. Too. I mean, it is. It's like, it's a very dark story. You know.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to read
that. Oh, it's so good.
Like, I knew it was about a merman, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know the log line.
I mean, I would say you could borrow my copy, but you need to buy your own copy and support your local
author. I'm going
to
buy it on Amazon. I'm going to rack the pre-orders up because that's how you become a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. So everyone needs to
pre-order.
You got to
front load that shit.
Yeah, front load it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wait, I'm shocked because I know that So Sad Today sold a bunch of copies. It did.
Yeah, it's still selling.
Yeah. Do you get royalties yet?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's amazing.
That's so chic. Wait, that's better than being a New York Times bestseller.
No, that's better.
Yeah.
No, that's
it just
insane.
Didn't all happen at the same time.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because White Girl Problems sold and was a New York Times bestseller, the actual like last one on the possible extended list, but still
nice.
On. And I didn't get royalties until last year, so it was 5 years before I saw a cent. But c'est la vie. Everyone's journey is different.
We're not in it to get rich, you know. The writers,
no.
The odyssey of
you're not
going to
get
rich.
You're doing so well. You have a lot of shit going on right now.
I do.
I feel like you're killing it.
I guess.
You're like quietly killing it. I feel like you're not the one to say you're killing it, but let me say you're killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so like I have a Jewish mother, so like I can't say I'm killing it because then it's a kinahora, which is like a Yiddish word for like you're going to fuck yourself if you give yourself any credit.
Mm. Well, okay. So wait, I have
like
a
it's all going to end
because you are. A successful author you are, and so do you ever feel that way, or do you ever allow yourself to feel good about being successful?
Yes, like there are moments. One time when I was the first time I ever got paid to do a poetry reading, which like some
Wait,
people would not
what I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, it was at a university in
Albany.
I didn't
know people got paid to write poetry, let alone read them. Mm-hmm. Poetry reading,
major.
Wow.
And it was like not what like Hollywood would define as success, because I think I made like
$50, right?
And like I didn't have an agent because like I'm not making it rain,
right?
But
right.
Like I remember looking at the window. I was at this university in Albany right after I had. Well, first of all, when I was reading, I had a panic attack because. Because
during
I,
the reading.
Yes, because I was being paid, I was like, you, like, and it was a 30-minute reading, which is like long.
Oh,
whoa.
Jesus.
I think it was like, I was making like $200. Like, it was nice. And I
That's
was
a
like,
a long time though to like.
I was like, I can't just like, but I was like, they're paying me. Like, yeah. I can't just like let, I can't just like walk out. You know, you got
right.
to stay up here. So that was like the pressure. But then after I had the panic attack and then went and sat back down and sort of like dissociated for a while mm-hmm. and listened to like the other poet who was reading, which was like a hell unto itself. I remember I looked at the window and it was snowing, and I looked at my reflection, and I was like, this is what you wanted to be when you grew up.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Those
oh
moments are really...
Coming back to the self. Coming back to the self.
But, like, now that, like, bigger things are happening, you know, than the Albany poetry reading.
you mean that wasn't the peak?
It wasn't the apex. I thought it might be at the time.
It's all downhill from here.
I always think it's the apex.
Yeah,
everything,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is it.
True.
Like, it's all like, this is the last. Good thing that's going to happen. But now it's like when really good things happen, like, okay, I'm waiting for this New York Times piece to run, which is like profile in the art section, right?
Wait, that's so chic. When's
right,
that
it
coming
is.
Out?
Well, that's a good question. So it was supposed to come out
did
like
they,
2 weeks
follow
ago.
You around? Did you, like,
and then, well, I just like met with someone and like we did like a profile.
Did Rub. You like, where'd you go? Where'd you take them?
Well, it was when I was in New York a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So we went to like the Natural History Museum and we were going to stand under the whale, but then the whale was closed, of course. So
right.
we went to like the homunculi and like the Cro-Magnon men and
did
stuff.
Did you eat in front of them? I love when they describe what they're eating.
I did. We had like, a fish lunch.
Okay, they're like, Marissa Broder gingerly eats her salmon. Like, you know what I mean? Or like, or devours it. Or it gets a plate of fries and says, can we share these, please? Like, you know, I love when like profiles talk about the food consumption. Because it's all those like actresses who don't eat, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I read one with Allison Williams that was like, I eat a donut every day from the vendor. I literally eat a donut every single day. I love a donut. And you're like, no.
She talked about donuts.
No, no nut.
For 4 hours.
Yeah.
The fake, like, I guess we'll put the donut thing in.
So you ate in front of them. I wonder if they're going to describe what you ate. So I did,
which is always like a very, like, I don't like, I would like prefer to eat in my car in a parking lot, like huddled over the steering wheel like a rat.
What is your favorite? You told me
mini cheesecakes.
Yeah.
Your favorite mini cheesecake?
These diet mini cheesecakes. I eat three of them in a row because one, if you eat one, then there's the sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have
it's
two.
Too little. How big?
They are like the size of.
Like a personal little round cheesecake?
Like a tennis ball. Okay. Little, but like not that like deep. Okay. You know? But
who makes them?
This weird kosher company in New York. I found them at one deli in New York City and I like loaded up. And then every time I'm back in New York, I always like go there. But I've just found them recently at Gelson's in Los Angeles. Of course. No, but then like.
Is it the Gelson's with the bar in it?
No, it's not.
I love
it's
that.
Not Bar Gelson's.
I love that bar.
That's a babe moment.
It's that bar. Gelson's bar. Opening up. But LA
if
is
ever
like
have a babe
doing
meetup, it should
now.
Be at the Gelson's bar.
Yeah. Like yeah. LA, just
or the
a
Ralph's
side
bar.
Note.
Yeah.
Is like doing things like opening bars in weird locations, like the grocery store. And there was like somewhere else where there's a bar now.
Watching those people makes me want to drink a lot, like away from there.
But like people like are having a moment there.
Yeah,
like
it's
they're
weird.
Cheersing their glass of Miraval. And then like someone's softly playing an acoustic version of like,
well,
come as you
are like,
and
literally searching for like poultry. Like I don't understand.
But you can give whoever at the grocery store your grocery list and be like, you do it. And then they
really?
Shop for you and then
oh,
come back and then
cheap.
Give you the thing.
And then you just like drive home drunk.
Yeah.
Sounds like a perfect system. Wow. Okay. So you love diet mini cheesecakes.
So I love the diet mini cheesecakes. But so anyway, so this New York Times thing. Okay. Like I just wanted to give you an example of how like, something good comes into my life and I take the joy away.
Right.
So like that's exciting, right? I'm like waiting for it to happen. So I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. Like it's not going to run. They've decided not to. Mm-hmm. But really, I think like deep down, I only want it to run so that I can post it on Facebook. And like this one dude I blew in a stairwell. Like, I mean, I've blown a lot of people.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Right. But like this one particular one, for some reason, he's been on my mind a lot lately. And we're Facebook friends.
Okay.
And like he, I want like him to see the link.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And all I can think about is like him seeing the link. It's not about like any like level of achievement because I have to boil it down to like that one person to whom I will never be enough.
Of course. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. Like you have to pick what drives you.
Yes.
And
for me, it's
the guy who.
Stairwell blowjob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Does he live in LA?
He does, which is so weird. But I didn't blow him in LA.
Okay.
I blew him in Massachusetts in college.
Random.
Yeah, in a dorm. It's like so strange because, again, there have been a lot of like, you know, one night stands.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, you know?
One night blands.
One night blands.
Oh, I like that.
I've been saying that for a long time.
I've never heard it until now, but that's great.
One night blands.
One night blands.
No, blands.
Blands.
But for some reason,
oh,
I had like a
glands.
Fix.
No, I didn't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, blands. One night glands. I love that. Not an idiot. One night glands. Oh my God, you kill
Shut
me.
Up. Okay.
So one night glands, such a good one.
Oh my God. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
So
you blew this guy in Massachusetts.
So now it's like Beeper
and
Vendetta.
Been a lot of
and it's weird
stands.
That he's like the one that.
Did
I've
he,
latched
did he mistreat
onto
you?
Psychologically. I mean, yeah, he just like kind of broke up with me because he wanted to do more coke and like, you know, I was in the way. But
yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing crazy.
You don't look like a white line.
I know. Like,
stop it.
But I mean, the thing is like, you know, I've kind of like been through enough like good things happening now that I know that nothing on the outside is ever enough.
Right.
Like there is no, there's, what is enough? There's never going to be enough.
What,
no,
what,
there's
okay, so,
never.
So to take a page from my acting coach, Myra, what is something that you would want right now? What do you want?
Right.
Do you want to buy a house?
No, because I don't want the responsibility.
Oh my God. That's like, I feel like that's so smart.
Yeah.
But you rent and you rent like a chic house, which I'm assuming does not come cheap, right?
So we rent a house.
It would be,
yeah.
It would be financially smarter to own, would it not?
Is it now though?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's nice to have like if something goes wrong in the apartment or the house, like you just outsource it. Like
Love.
Call someone.
I mean,
and
do I look like Tim Allen
it.
Home Improvement over here?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna do shit.
Like you have to like I guess if you have a house, you like Google a plumber or like,
how do
you take
that
to the web and then you pay like,
yeah,
you just need to have like an extra $400 laying around to like fix whatever goes
that
wrong.
That is fucking crazy.
It is.
Okay.
And,
so you don't want
I have
want
an
a
apartment
house
in New York that I rent out.
Oh,
to,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
so so that apartment in Brooklyn that I rent out to tenants.
Right.
Every
time.
Do you
have the same one, the same tenant, or do you?
We had one and then, but he was in the FBI, so he had to like relocate very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was great. Like, I mean, he was like a fundamentalist Christian.
Okay.
And like his wife, like they like their first date was the Cheesecake Factory, which I love.
Ugh.
And they like framed it and they like never drank. So they're the best tenants.
Is there diet cheesecake at the mini the Cheesecake Factory?
I don't think so.
There should be.
But I like what is the menu?
Do you
go
to the Cheesecake Factory?
I went through a period where I was I had to have it every night for about like I guess like probably 3.5 months.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, this is what I do.
Wait. What
I'm the same
skinny
way.
Skinny Winnie menu. What's their menu?
No, Skinnylicious.
Skinnylicious.
Like, Skinnylicious. I'm like, I will get obsessed with a certain food and then I need to like max it out until I just make myself sick.
Oh,
where
me too.
It's like I take one bite and I'm like, I can't eat this for months.
You guys, totally. I got addicted to eating Subway sandwiches in New York. It's
from
sick.
Subway?
I feel you.
From Subway.
I feel you.
From Subway.
I'm shaking.
No, I know. It's
the
disgusting
smell of the bread's gross, but
it's
I like
disgusting
the chopped salads.
They, I'm sorry.
Salad?
As someone who introduced you to the holy grail of chopped salad, I actually take deep offense to this. Like,
it's actually, I'd say, a fast food La Scala salad.
No.
No, I know. I know. No. I know.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that there was me fighting words.
Like, I know nothing, and Ryan like takes me to all the like nice places in LA, and it like shows me things.
I take her to aggressively,
I otherwise don't leave the house.
LA places, because I think it's fun, and you're always down for it.
I am, because
like,
where, how am I
going to
know?
How long have you lived in LA?
It'll be like 5 years in the fall.
Okay.
And I know like 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
I know. You know, like I'm very like
I've heard of that place.
I fucking love 7-Eleven.
I love 7-Eleven.
Like, yeah.
I speaking of poetry, I'm like I wrote a poem for my sister when I was little that was like telling her how much I loved her, and I was like, I want to take you to 7-Eleven because it was like a safe space for me, and that's how like I felt like I could show my biggest love to my sister.
So nice.
That's weird.
You were like inviting her into your safe space.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that. It is, it's so safe there.
What is your safe space in LA?
The parking lot at 7-Eleven or Gelson's.
Right,
now
right.
Gelson's, but it used to be like the parking lot at 7-Eleven.
Right.
I like to be like alone in my car in the dark.
Yeah.
Somewhere where like no one really knows where I am.
Right.
And like tweeting and like eating weird diet junk foods. Like that to me is a little slice of heaven.
It's, you love it.
Yeah.
You're thriving.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I live in the canyon. So I should be able to, I should be like, well, this spot on the mountain while I'm hiking with my dog. But it's not. It's a parking lot in my car with the heat. I'm trying to simulate the womb.
I love a sit in the car journey.
Oh,
my car's been like.
Do you play music?
Yeah.
Mm. What music do you play?
Well, I have my Spotify playlist that I've curated.
Uh-huh.
And
of course.
Yeah. So yeah. I have my Jams playlist in rotation now. Yeah.
I love that.
It's really good.
You know, when I first met you, it was years ago at Giusta in Venice.
Oh, God.
LOL.
Wait, how did that happen?
Your suggestion.
How do you guys know each other originally?
I don't know, actually.
The
through
internet.
The internet, right?
The internet.
But was it through Mira, our friend Mira?
Probably through Mira. I feel like
I
knew of
one
you. But I was kind of like scared of you. I was intimidated.
Why?
Because I thought you were like, because I was always intimidated by Brandon Scott
Gorrell. Oh my God,
does he do the Scott anymore? Or is it just Brandon Gorrell?
Well, I call him BSG.
BSG.
He's my queen. I just had dinner with him last week.
You did?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I always felt intimidated by him because one time I used to host this poetry reading, and one time him and Tao and some people came to this poetry reading and like no one showed up and I felt personally responsible.
Wow.
So I sort of, because you wrote for that Thought Catalog,
right,
I like associated you with him and like.
Someone being intimidated for like me writing for Thought Catalog is a true lol.
I thought you guys were much cooler.
No.
Than
I thought
me.
You were really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
I am cool.
Like, you are cool.
Once I like, we had met IRL and then I was like, oh, he's cool and funny and like, yeah, I would like to be friends with him, and then started reading your writing. I was just like, oh my God, I hope he wants to be friends with me.
Yeah.
And now look at us.
You're still cool, but now I feel like I'm in the fold.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not in the fold, when someone's just an internet presence.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
You're out of the fold, you're like, oh, so he's cool and funny. Like,
well,
great. He'll reject, you know, he'll never love me.
I was nervous to meet you because I had met a lot of people off the internet, and I would say the URL to IRL transition has been bumpy. It's people, okay, so you're very funny. So Sad Today is hilarious. And I was expecting like an agoraphobic, like weirdo, like Samara from The Ring. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, because you talk openly about anxiety and depression, but you do it in a very long way. But I was not expecting you to be so, like, bright and sociable and, like a good conversationalist and a lawler. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like they're, like, but I, do you ever get that when people meet
all
you?
All the time.
Yeah.
And the reason I started So Sad Today is because that is a, like, people are like, it's So Sad Today, a persona. And I'm like, no, it's just the part of me that I, like, never had the self-confidence to, like, unearth because I thought I always had to be fucking smiling and, like,
right.
putting on a show, you know?
So then do you think you're putting on a show? It's okay. Are both your authentic selves, though? Is, like, So Sad Today authentic? And then also when you're being bright and cheerful in person and being funny and all that stuff, is that real too? Or do you feel like it's performative?
I think it's all part of me, but, like, So Sad Today is a part of me.
Yeah.
You know, the part of me that, like, when I, like a person, which is, like, not that often, but, like, I like you guys, you know?
I'm like, whew.
Yeah, when I, like, genuinely, like a person.
Yeah.
It's so rare, like, to actually be excited to see someone. Like,
I know, it is medium rare.
It's pretty rare.
It is. What also,
the older you get, like, the more rare it is to, like, really crave someone's, like, vibe and presence around you.
Well, to me, it's, like, a secret sauce of, like, first of all, like, you also have, like, no ego, which is very rare in Los Angeles. I feel like everyone sort of has this, like, bravado or whatever. Like, they're like, anyways, like, what are you working on, motherfucker? You know what I mean? And I feel like you don't have any of that, which is very chic. I feel like Carly doesn't have any of that either, which is chic. And I, you know, it's all, it's like this rare combination, or not rare, but it's like a combination of vulnerability, which is also, people have a hard time being vulnerable, and that is not chic for me. Like, we need to be fingering each other's e-spots within the first 10 minutes, or I can't go there with you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, but like, be vulnerable, but be funny. Like, I don't need dark cloud. I need, like, you know what I mean? I don't need, like, anyways, like, victimization, whatever, whatever. So it actually really is.
Well, no, I'm never a victim because it's always my fault. I've never attributed my suffering to anyone but myself. Probably to a major fault.
Yeah,
like, erroneously. I could stand to be the victim a little more in my own narrative.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think you could.
Yeah.
But I don't identify as a victim either, ever. So, and I think I will go out of my way to resist that. And I think there is some times where I'm like, oh, maybe that was shit. Like, maybe I'm allowed to feel that way.
Yeah.
But it's, so it's that. It's vulnerability. It's lulls. It's, like, little ego. Mm-hmm. And
well, I feel like I psychologically can't afford to have an ego, and here's why. Like, in LA, and let me be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a human, like, I fucking haven't, you know, I, like.
Yeah, we all, yeah. We all have,
I mean,
an
I
ego.
Want the blowjob stairwell to see New York Times tomorrow.
Totally. Absolutely.
You know?
So,
no, yeah, we're
we
all,
as
our,
you
we're
should.
All fighting our battles.
And as he will.
I'm hoping. Yeah. And I hope he's not, like, you know, off with his kids or something. I don't know. But anyway, nonetheless, like, I feel like when, you know, I didn't move here to get into any, like, TV or film writing. And so, and I
which
feel
is, like, by the way, so chic.
Well, because you know what? Like, to the thought of putting my, like, emotional health or future or career into these fucking flakes out here is, I mean, that sounds insane. So I'm like, I must treat Hollywood like a douche bro.
Yes,
I cannot text it.
Yep.
I cannot call it. I have to not get emotionally invested. If it texts me, I'll see what it has to offer.
Totally.
Maybe I'll fuck it. But, like, I can't be expecting a goddamn thing.
No. I think that's so smart. And Jonathan met you last week when we went to your house to make s'mores. And which were, I ate like 10, by the way.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was cute.
No, I ate like a lot.
And you had my mom's knitted blanket on you.
No, Jonathan did.
Oh, Jonathan did.
But I ate a lot of s'mores. It was
cute.
Because I didn't eat dinner, whatever, the whole thing was weird. I was like, I'm eating too much. But anyway, Jonathan was so impressed by you because he was like, she really has the right attitude about things. And then you've also carved out a life in which you don't need it. Like, you don't need those calls. You don't need those texts. So, like, you've made it so you're, like, sustainable in your own way. And he was just, like, very impressed. He just, like, loved you. Anyway.
I think that's a defense mechanism. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but it's smart.
Yeah, because
you should have a defense mechanism against this.
I can't let
business.
My heart be like... And also, the other thing is, I grew up, like, reading books, and I'm addicted to books. I'm addicted to the internet. I'm not really addicted to movies and TV. My agents would probably be, like, mad at me for saying this right now. They're like, what are you doing? Shut
which,
your
by
mouth.
The way, which, by the way, when you say that, it's like you get greenlit a TV show tomorrow. Like, literally, like, it's so...
No, it's the Jemima Kirk effect.
I know.
Of being like, I don't want this. I don't care. And then
fuck
you get
you.
It all because
that's so
people...
Funny.
And
it
that,
is true.
But that's, like, how... I feel like, especially in Hollywood, that's just how people trade. Like, you're much more attractive. And I guess in life and then dating, it's like you're more attractive... when you...
People don't respond to desperation.
When you're ready to walk away and you have no investment, like, mm-hmm. that's when people want you more.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even in, like... to take it back to the a few episodes ago when I'm talking about like Craigslist, like selling shit to people on Craigslist, I'm like helping my mom move out of her house and like therefore selling a bunch of her stuff. But like learning how to like negotiate with people has never been my strong suit. And then this has been like a crash course in doing that. And it all is about just being like, I don't care if you buy this or not. Like, I'm down to walk away from whatever.
Wow. That, like, that power to walk away is incredible. It's mm-hmm. intoxicating. It's its own drug.
But that comes also with like a sense, like a strong sense of self, because on some level you must know that like whatever is going to happen, you're going to be okay.
I just know that I can't make myself susceptible to the whims of something that probably has very little to do with my talent. And also, yes, you know, the weird thing is, like, in New York, if someone, like, wants to have a meeting with you, it's usually because they're interested in meeting with you. Or doing something with you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, maybe. It might not happen, but they have interest in your work and doing something together. But here it seems more like it took me like a couple years to figure this out, because I was like, why am I going to these fucking meetings?
Yeah, like why am I going to Santa Monica at 4:30?
Like, yeah. Why?
Why?
And I think it's just like, so just in case you get famous, they like know
you. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like a,
And that's so weird.
And also if there's like buzz around you, then everyone just wants to like see for themselves. It's very like voyeuristic.
It is.
And there's little to no.
I've learned though, like with general meetings, like, that was my mistake, because I would go in with nothing, and now I know how to make general specific. So, like, even yesterday I went into a general, and I kind of, like, right there just, like, kind of pitched a show idea that, like, we just kind of came up with on the fly, and now I'm going to, like, write. It's like, I just kind of, like, know how to make it work, you know what I mean? And I think that's sort of the way you need to approach it, is, like, you need to come in with your own agenda and, like, you know what I mean? If you're just going and you're like, I don't know what this is.
Like, generals even more general. Like, well, I think I go to the opposite.
Well, because you
get like, where are you from? I like to talk. I'm just like, tell me everything about your life.
Totally.
And then just like, want to like have fun and lol.
I'm like, you're hypochondriac too? Yeah. Like, where are you getting married?
Yeah.
You know, it was so when you started So Sad Today, you were a publicist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the Big Apple.
Taking a bite out of the
apple. I heard about her. Crazy city girl. So then how long were you anonymous?
So I was anonymous for about 3 years. Totally anonymous.
Wow. What year did you start So Sad Today?
2012.
Chic.
Long ago. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like ashamed. Like, people are like, oh my God, it's so, like, somebody today was like, it's so cool. You have that account. It's like a lot of, like, they were like, they said it's a lot of power to have that, like, ability to generate retweets and stuff. I'm like, really? Because I feel like the biggest fucking loser that I'm still tweeting from this account. Like,
well, no, because you
but
need
6 years later. But what's cool about...
Like, emotion.
Well, I'm addicted.
Emotion. But
I mean, it's just the dopamine.
But I think it's a good outlet for you. Or is it not? Have you lost...
No, it's like, probably a very negative outlet. But I'm addicted. I mean, it is my vice. I don't have much. Like, as we were talking about, this is the first wine episode.
Right.
And I'm sober.
Yeah.
But I was telling...
I'm a very sensitive host.
I was telling Ryan and Laura that, like, I like when people get fucked up around me, because then I'm like, oh, they're not going to remember shit about, like, what I said.
Right, right.
It's the best. So please, drink up.
So when you were anonymous for a couple of years, were you still working as a publicist during that time?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And you just started it, like, as a lol to yourself?
I started it because I was in a pretty, like, dark place. Mm-hmm. I was going through, like, I'll go through these... periods, because I've found that anxiety and depression for me are cyclical. Like, mm-hmm. just when I think I'm never going to get out, I come out the other side. Just when I think, like, oh, I'm never, like, I'm like free, I'm never going to have another panic attack again. Like, that's when, like, I have a really bad one and start and, like, get into the darkness.
Totally.
And so I was doing all the things that I do when I fall into that place. Like, I had upped my medication, you know, I was going to therapy, nothing was working.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I really wanted to tweet, and I felt really isolated. And
that's
the worst.
Yeah.
It isolates you. It makes you feel like you're on your own island.
Yeah. Probably the worst feeling about it is being like, I'm so alone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all alone.
Yeah. It's not true.
In like,
it's not only true.
In like your experience of whatever you're feeling, but like in life in general. Because it starts to just like branch out to this like vast feeling of just being like, I'm fucking alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And like, so.
You were so helpful, by the way, when I had my anxiety attack in like the summer. Well,
I was so glad I could help. I felt bad for you. Because
it was an episode for like, it lasted like 4 months, but you were...
It was like a depression, anxiety hybrid.
It was like a weird, yeah. like it was, I relate to being cyclical because it felt like an episode. It just yeah. felt like, and you were so helpful and always were like down to talk to me on the phone. Like, and we talked a lot and I just like, I felt crazy, but you just, it was soothing to talk to you about it.
Because I care about you. And I was like, so I know how like scary it is. Like, it's yeah. so scary. Yeah. But like, you do come out the other side. Like, I have thus far, I've always thought I wasn't going to come out the other side. And I've right. thus far, like, it's sort of like faith that comes out of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, well, if all these times I've come out the other side, then like, I'm going to come out again. But I'm always like, this time, totally, it's going to yeah. be the one.
It's the one that does you in.
Yeah. Especially because I was working in an office too. And like, I am hard on myself. I was like, well, I can't take time off. Like, I'll lose my job. And like, so I was literally just, I would go into work and I was like sitting at my desk, just like shaking. And people don't know when I'm having an anxiety attack. Like, I'm very good at like concealing it. Which is weird because you feel like you're dying. So you must really care a lot what people think of you. If you like feel like you're dying and you're like, and I'm performing.
Yeah, totally. Yep,
yeah. Yep, yep. Yeah. Or you can just go and like turn on like and be present for yes. something when you literally.
Well, we pitched our show. We pitched our show when I was going through my anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. You saw yes. me. I was a wreck. Yeah. I was a nervous wreck. We would go to do pitch our show and it would be like. And it would just, I did stand up. I remember I did that show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like I was.
Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot about that.
It was so weird. But I, you know, in a weird way, I felt most like myself when I was performing, when I was doing those things. So I needed it. And it was proof that I was going to be okay. Like yeah. to me, I feel like I have this irrational fear of, just losing myself to it, like not being able to perform, not being able to be funny. I have fears of not being funny all the time. I'll go to a meeting and be like, this is the meeting where I can't think of a new joke or do this. It haunts me. Or whenever I write a new project or whatever, like I'm like, oh, I can't think of a joke. I can't do it. Like I'm not funny anymore. It's like it haunts me or something. I don't know.
Like you have a spark that you're going to
yeah,
lose.
That I'll lose it. Yeah.
That fear of losing like a talent or a good quality forever, I feel like is probably pretty common amongst artists. Like, I really have it too. And that yeah. was, I mean, I was like, well, like, you know, if I take some time off work, then like, how will, like, what if I get fired? And how will I support myself? Or like, right. when I'm in, you know, I'm never gonna write another poem. It's like very, it's not just like, you need a week. And, right. but one thing I said to you, which has helped me is that like, you can be doing like everything right. And sometimes you still go into a depression. And it's just kind of like, you can be like doing everything right. And sometimes you just get sick. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's how I see it. It's like, okay, I'm just sick right now and it's going to yeah. get better, but I really need to like give myself time to heal. But it's really hard not to be taking your temperature every 5 seconds.
Well,
like, am I better? Hard. Am I better? Am I losing it? Am I
when
better?
When you fight yeah. it, it makes it worse. That's the thing. When I surrendered to it yeah. and just let it be, that's when it lifted.
Yeah.
But I was fighting it every step of the way.
Yeah. Cause you're watching yourself. You're like, can I breathe? Was that a heart palpitation? Yep. What's going on?
Yeah. yeah. But it's also hard with depression too, where it's like, you don't necessarily have any outward symptoms, so to speak. Like, it's like if you get sick, your nose is runny, your throat's sore, you're like so tired. But depression, I mean, at least for me, has been like, I don't want to get out of bed. Like, there's nothing really to get up for. Like, I'm just going to sleep for a while. I'm not going to do any of the responsibilities that I set out to do. And then it just like compounds for like a week or 2 weeks. And then it's just like, it's not, I don't know. It's like in the moment, I've had a hard time recognizing like, oh, this is like depression. Like, this is what this looks like for you. And like, this is where you're at. And now that I have some distance from it, it's like, I see those moments, but it's hard to identify that sometimes. And especially if you're hard on yourself, like it can just be like, oh, for me, I'm like, you're a fucking lazy asshole. Like this is why like you don't have XYZ because you just like don't do anything. Like, and it just turns into like a endless cycle.
Do you have negative self-talk? Because I actually don't. Like, that's the one thing I don't have, even when I'm going through anxiety or like a depression or whatever the hell. Like, I don't ever think. I don't. It's weird.
You're not like a negative self-talk.
No,
person.
I don't do that. I don't do that. It's weird.
I am negative self-talk. Like, I mean, the only.
That's so sad today. Yeah, so sad today is negative. Is
like
negative
I am. Self-talk. Like, that is like so much of my being, and of course, you know, there is underneath that. Like, there is like the quiet place, like the place yeah. of God or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or the universe or the hush place, like that I meditate, you know, yeah. and I do all this fucking work to like, so I can have like maybe a moment's peace. But yeah, no, but the for whatever reason in me, the committee is very loud. I have a full committee. I wake up in the morning. It's been up for an hour. It is plotting. It knows everything that's going to go wrong.
Yeah. It's a committee for you?
Oh, it's a committee.
What does the committee look like? Can you paint a picture?
She wrote about that. There's the committee inside my head.
Yeah, the committee in my head. I mean, well, it's definitely like my mom's up there. Like she's in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's probably like the conductor. She might be like one or like a couple of different bodies. And then there's like, there's an ex-girlfriend. It's funny, like the people I pick, you know, for the committee, like there's an ex-girlfriend of mine from, God, I was like, I mean, it was a long time ago. I think I was like 21 or 22. And she was always like, she was like totally very hip. Mm-hmm. You know, she was really cool. And she just did not think I was hip enough, like in no way. And she's like up there. And we didn't, I mean, we dated for maybe like 6 months. You know, it wasn't like the great affair of my life. And it's weird too, because she and I didn't talk for a long time, and I like kind of had built her up in my mind. So she was like, had a firm seat on the committee. And then a couple years ago, we like got back in touch, and now we're like sort of friendly and friends. And like, now that she like wants to, like, you know, now that she like kind of approves of me, especially because I think she likes like fame and shit. So she's like, oh, she like girl, oh, girl's followers. Got Twitter followers.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, she's kind of been like, she's like taken a back seat. She's on sabbatical in the committee.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah.
Like if someone likes me, they're definitely not in the committee. Yeah. If someone has like respect for me and like, is accept, it's only, it's the people, it's these figures that, because I feel like it's only real if I have to like work to win your love, you know?
Totally.
Like, the love that comes, and that's what the, that's actually what the Pisces is about.
Yeah.
It's like, when, why does that love that like can't be, why does that love that's like, why does that fantasy love or like the one night stand love, like why does that feel so much more intoxicating than like the love that is right here?
Yeah. Because you're married.
Yeah.
And like in a committed relationship.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you have monogamy.
For now.
Like, for now, yeah. I know.
We had our years
right,
on monogs.
Right, right, yeah. There's always revisions in the contract.
Yeah, we're always negotiating.
You're like a gay couple.
We are.
Yeah.
We did
and
5 years
non-monog.
And
that's non-monog. Like modern. And
yeah.
That's how, I mean, I think to have the best relationship, you have to be in a constant conversation of like, what are we doing with our sex lives together or with other people? Or like, how are we going to both like reconcile this? But like, I forgot what I was going to ask. It was good.
I mean, I think monogamy is hard. I think non-monogamy is hard. I think being single is hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? They all have their fucking shit.
Oh, the like the love being the not love you can't have being like so intoxicating. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that? Do you make of that like that that's real, or is it one type of real love, or like are there shades of love? Like, where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is I'll probably be writing about it for the rest of my life because I don't stand on like super sure footing, you know, like it's always going to be an exploration for me. I think that, you know, in the early stages of a relationship, there's something known as limerence, which is that intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that feeling of like literally the crush and the butterflies and that physical, oh my God. And like, as a person who's an addict, for me myself, like I crave that. It's like a drug. It's like it's the dopamine release, and you're just not going to get that drug like off the person who you've been with for like 14 years and are like going to buy toilet paper for. Like it's just different, you know? I also think that as an artist, that's like the worst thing I've ever said. As an artist.
No, you are though,
I guess,
honey.
I am. But like,
for God's sakes.
You know, like the art that we value in our culture. I mean, like when I look at like the classic love stories, Romeo and Juliet, right? Like, they're there. Like, it ends in suicide. Like, it's not a great outcome. And like, or like, Wuthering Heights.
No one wins.
Like, Heathcliff's therapist. Like, if I were Heathcliff and Kathy's therapist, like, you know, their therapist would be like, stop texting each other for 90 days. Like, get away from each other.
Right.
You know? And it's like that sort of that intoxicating love. Like, often is the love that can't be. And I think that's because it's intrinsic in the nature of like something that is ephemeral, you know, that is like fleeting. Like that's the beauty of it, you know, that is the beauty. But that's also, I think, where the darkness can come in too, because it's like you can chase that feeling forever and just keep going from person to person, looking for that feeling and feeling like once you don't have that feeling anymore, then this must be wrong.
Yeah.
So,
wrong.
But it's also kind of there to like show you something about yourself.
Yes.
In a way. At least for me and my experience of like having those types of emotions and being in those types of relationships, I've always come out the other side like far more wise about like my flaws.
What is the number one thing you think you get out of your marriage?
Well, a lot of stuff. I mean, that's so funny. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that before. Definitely, inspiration. Like, my husband's a really big part of my creative life, and I would say that he is sort of like a creative support and a source of inspiration. Like, this book would never have existed if he hadn't given me this other book that I read about a mermaid and all kinds of things. So definitely that. But I would also say, like, he keeps me tethered to the earth. And like, when I'm away from him for like 2 weeks, and we've been together for so long that I forget how much he tethers me to the earth. But like, he's going to kill me for saying this, but like, I call him Mama Cow sometimes, and he calls me Baby Calf. And like,
I'm obsessed.
I love couples nicknames.
It's no, my darling, which is what I call Jonathan, but I think it's equally as cute.
Yeah, no.
So it's he's like the Mama Cow, because I, like, he's really very nurturing person, which is like the opposite of my mom.
Yeah.
And so I have like found, in some ways, a mother there. But so like, I'm always like, when I'm away from him for like a week and a half, I'm like, I think I'm going to be fine. You know, like everything's great. Like, I'm like ready. I'm like, I need time by myself. And then like within a week and a half, I'm like calf unmoored. Like I'm it's 4 a.m. and I'm on Twitter and I haven't eaten in like 12 hours. Like he just is a little, and he doesn't like do everything for me or anything like that. Like
he's a stabilizing presence.
He is a stabilizing presence in my life. He keeps me tethered to the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys have such affection for each other. It's very clear when you see you guys together. It's like,
thank
you. It's very peanut butter and jelly. Like, it's perfect. I feel like I was single for so long.
You know, but I still want like a hot 25-year-old to fuck.
Same,
anyway.
Same. I mean, literally. You know, I was single for 28 years, so I never had a boyfriend, and Jonathan's my first boyfriend, and I've always prided myself on being independent and blah, blah, blah. But I will say that the last few times he's gone out of town, I have found myself feeling a little unmoored. I've been feeling a little like, and I hate it. I actually really hate it, because I'm like, I hate feeling like I need somebody, or, you know, it just kind of isn't, it's very a new feeling for me. I don't like it. I want to be fine on my own, and I am fine. I don't fall to pieces. I'm not like, licking the walls or something, but I do notice a difference when he's gone, and I don't quite feel totally myself. I don't know. It's like, I guess that's a not chic thing to say.
No.
But, I mean, but that's like your real experience of what you're going through.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's also been hard, because I feel like the last few times he's gone out of town, you've been out of town too, and my mom's been in town. So it's been like a real trifecta of like shit. So I think maybe that's it. But it's interesting, like, to need somebody or something. It's not what I'm used to. And I feel like I fought it for a long time. But it also
feels very scary.
But it feels also good to kind of surrender, you know, and be okay with it. And not feel like a loser for feeling that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I've definitely often equated like marriage with like loserdom. You know, like some of my single friends are like, I'm such a loser. I'm single. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's cool as shit. Like being married, like I'm like marriage, you know, like I definitely was like, oh. But I also think that like, you know, we were talking about sort of what is the appeal of like that short-lived thing. And it's like, I think sometimes in those moments with the, like, I love fake intimacy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, ugh,
same.
Oh, I oh, love
it's
fake.
It's fintimacy.
Fintimacy. Yeah. I love it, because you don't, you think you need, but like, it's in the end.
You don't have to give up anything.
No,
you're not really, it feels like you're giving up so much.
It's like
much,
play. It's like play. It's playing how, you know, playing intimacy.
You're not sacrificing at all.
No.
It's so true. Like, real love is like responsibility and like showing up and being present for someone. Like, who the fuck wants to do that? Like, not me, you know? Totally. I'm like, I want to like fly to a hotel room and like, you know, be like, oh my God, you're so hot. Like, you're so hot. And like, let's talk about like our childhood trauma for a little bit. And like, then like talk about like spiritual awakenings we've had and like have really hot sex and then like go away and sext each other, you know? Like that to me, I'm like, oh, that's love.
Yeah.
Not like,
that feels real.
Yeah. Not like, oh shit. Like you have a, you know, a neuroimmune disease. My husband's had neuroimmune disease for many, many years, and it's progressive. That's why we moved to LA. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you're not like you. Like he only left the house like 10 times between October and April. Like,
really?
It's been a really hard winter, and it's like, oh wait, I have to like show up. I'm gonna listen to you like every day talk about this illness, and I'm just gonna be quiet, and I'm not gonna try to fix it. Like, you know, that's. Right. that's not Wuthering Heights.
No.
You know?
No.
So
that's a relationship.
That's like Wuthering, like
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
I understand. Yeah. Like in my throes of my happy ending addiction, I would actually pick guys that were uglier and uglier because I needed them to really want me, and I needed to know that, like, because when you pick the hot guys, you can't guarantee that they're going to actually be into it, and you can tell when someone's into it or not, even when they're performing. It's like, yeah, you really don't like this, like whatever. But I would truly pick guys that were like not as cute because I knew that they would feel like more like grateful or like excited to be with me, which was so twisted. And I knew it. I was like, this is like, they're becoming like gargoyles because I need to feel wanted. I need to feel like the most like desirable person. Like that's where it needed to go. You know?
Does not sound twisted to me.
I mean, yeah, that I makes know, a lot of sense. But it's like, but it is Disturbia, like lightly. I mean, like when you're like getting jerked up by someone who like looks like an Oompa Loompa, like, and you are like literally like, I needed this for, is that, am I going to get fined in 2018? Is that,
but then maybe you can like, maybe you can transition out of that into just like feeling yourself.
Yeah.
In the real world.
In the real?
In the real world. I can't say it.
You're like Lisa Rinna. Why are we going wound and wound?
Why are we going wound and wound?
Yeah, but
I'm terrified of like intimacy or sacrificing anything for another person. And like, I've really like fashioned my life in such a way where it's like I can be fully self-sufficient and get everything I need from myself and my friends. So I'm like, why would I ever want to do anything? Like, why would I want to go out of my way?
Yeah, you're all about control.
Yeah.
In a weird
and
way.
So
that's a twist.
It's like, I love like faux intimacy or just like weird sex or just all that kind of like quick dopamine rush of like being obsessed with someone or feeling like I can't have them and being tortured. But like when it comes to actually like being like texting about what we're going to eat or like pick up food or like what are we like, it's like, no. Like, well, I don't want to do any of that.
Speaking to that, like, I feel like the success of So Sad Today, it's so funny because, you know, I read your book of essays and they're incredible, but they're also very dark and they're very specific. And like, you talk, you know, in one essay about having like a vomit fetish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. So I read this stuff and I'm like, wow, this is so dark and this is so real. And it becomes wildly successful, which I think speaks to the fact that like what you're writing about, which is alienation, anxiety, depression, all the stuff that we're talking about today, it actually resonates in a huge way, in a way that I personally even didn't expect. You know what I mean? Like, are you ever surprised to really understand in a real way, given that
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are successful and everything with this, that you are truly not alone. And in fact, not only are you not alone, but your writing speaks to someone beyond like just the typical anxious, depressed crowd. It's like it resonates with truly everyone. That's like so shocking, right? I mean,
well, the day that So Sad Today came out, the vomit fetish essay, like it was funny, like when I was working on edits with my editor, she was like, "You sure you want to do this one?" I was like, yeah. And then like, a blurber like was like, "I skipped that one. It was like going to be too disgusting." And I was like, maybe this is just like too over the top. And because I don't write things to shock. I mean, there's definitely like an element of like punk in me where I'm like, fuck you, I am going to say this, you know? Yeah. But it's not just to shock. It's like, well, this is the truth. What if I said it?
Right.
You know, like what if I said the truth? Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Right.
You know, that's more the place I think that I'm coming from. And but then like right when it was about to come out, I was like, maybe we should pull the vomit essay. Cause I was like, you know, if there's one thing, when I know my aunt is reading the book, you know, I'm like, it's just so weird, you know, but we didn't. And it's, but the day that So Sad Today came out, like my mom and I were like in a difficult place, and she has never been happy about that book exists. My mother is the opposite of confessional. Like,
right.
She's like the mistress of protocol. Like, why would you ever put your like your flaws on the tape. Like, why would you ever do that?
Yeah. It's like a generational thing.
It is.
Like, it's very much like you keep everything. And I think that's what's so interesting about writing about these types of topics and then seeing it like resonate with other people and realizing you're not alone is because I think our parents' generation like just didn't do that.
No.
And it was like, you are alone, suffer in silence, yeah. and just like work hard, make money, retire. And that's like so not our mindset. And
by the way, we all notice that they're miserable. So it's like, I feel like we tell because it's like we tell the truth to survive. And we also know what happens when we don't tell the truth, which is that we end up incredibly repressed and miserable and stuck, which I think is a lot of our parents. Mm-hmm. And we do not want to end up that way.
Well, like, I had this moment that day, like, when I, like, when, because I showed my mother, like, one article about the book, and it was, like, the safest article. You know what I'm saying? It was, like, the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it was, like, this grew up in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. I was, like, oh, okay, this is the one I'm going to show my mom.
Yeah.
And she was, like, well, why didn't they mention that you went to college? Like, she, like, found, like, a, I mean, oh, I was, like, God. Oh, honey, wow. You read the vomit article. But so,
oh, honey, so but, repressed today.
So I went into this moment. I was, like, maybe I didn't have to, like, say it. Like, what am I doing? Like, and I had this, like, hardcore self-doubt. And then all of a sudden, I got this email from this young woman, and she was, like, I'm on a field trip. You know, my book arrived. I guess she had pre-ordered on Amazon.
Pre-order on Amazon.
I guess she had pre-ordered it on Amazon.
I guess it was the pre-order.
It was the pre-order. It was, you know,
it was the pre-order.
The miracle of the pre-ordering. Uh-huh. And she was like, she's like, this book totally saved my ass today. Like, I have been having the worst. And anyway, I was like, oh, maybe there is, like, maybe it is okay that I am, like, doing this. And,
yeah.
And so, does it ever surprise me? Like, it's really nice to get email. And I get them. I get so many, you know, from people all the time.
Do you think, okay, so we've talked about this before. This is like, whatever. But do you think that there's a certain level of like performative anxiety happening from like, because I'll notice like some like basic whatever being like, oh my God, same. Like, get on it. I'm like, I don't know. Like someone, like a reality star, like there's this one, whatever. I'm sorry. And I'm like, kind of like, I don't buy it. My eyebrow is cocked. Where people are like, oh my God, yes. But I'm like, I don't know. Because I remember when I was younger and I was generally less anxious or not aware of my anxiety, I would just be like, oh, I'm totally having an anxiety attack, when I just like didn't feel anxious at all. But I was like, yeah, I feel so anxious. But like, I was like, and then I actually had an anxiety attack when I was 27. And I was like, oh, lol, actually, that was not what that was. And that was just me being like, oh my God, so anxious, crazy. Anyways, I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? Is that like a what?
But, no, I mean, I think that right now it's like two-handed, like talking about depression and anxiety and having like open discourse about mental health issues is really important. And it's cool that we are in like a time when it's okay to do that and it's not like taboo, but then it also becomes like cool to do that and like own your anxiety.
I'm having the worst anxiety right now. We need to go. And it's like, actually, you just kind of want to go because you're over it.
Yeah.
But that's not anxiety. That's just like, yeah, I know. Both are fine. But I'm like, you're reappropriating anxiety. Yeah.
I think it's probably better to like, you're going to, everything's give and take, right?
Yeah,
so it's like, sometimes you just have to put up with like dumb idiots being like, my anxiety, like I need a Xanax, like and in order to have like a larger conversation that's like, this is a real thing, like this is how my struggle looks, this is what I did to help myself, like let's connect about this. And then you're reaching people that then they don't feel as alone, you don't feel as alone, and then the cream rises to the top.
It's a small price to pay
price to pay, because I'm with you, like it's fucking annoying as shit.
Yeah,
but I'm not like, well, first of all, you don't know how many millions, how many times, not millions.
Miss Millions over here.
How many
millions of people.
No, millions. I was going to say how many millions of trolls, but it's not. It's not millions. It's like, but a lot of people, like, you know, I mean, from very early on, people have been like, you're romanticizing mental illness. I'm like, fuck you. It's my depression. I'm going to talk about how I want. Like,
totally.
It's very ableist to be like, well, you can only talk about it in this way. And like, why aren't you doing anything to recover? It's like, bitch, I am doing everything to recover, like always. And it's not a linear path, but anyway.
Totally.
But like, but in terms of like, people have asked me like, well, do you think there's like, you know, performative depression? And I'm like, honestly, who the fuck cares? Like, I'm not like a medical professional. I'm not in the business of like taking anybody's inventory. Right. You know, like if you want to like do your whatever you're doing, that's fine. But like at the same time, just because people have mental illness or don't, doesn't mean we have to like hang out. And yeah, like, yeah. So I think I'm really good in life at ignoring what I find like stupid. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, no, I'm not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you don't sweat that
water
stuff.
Water finds its level. Like, yeah. You find the people.
Like, keep it out of your sphere.
Yeah, like, we find the people we connect with.
When you write Vivi ultimately, you attract a certain kind of fan that feels like your friends.
Yes.
when you're not.
Yeah.
And that can be an uncomfortable situation. I mean, I experienced that when I was at Thought Catalog a lot.
Yeah.
People being like, oh my God, we'd be like best friends. And you're like, no.
And I'm like, well, if you really knew me, you'd know that I don't really want to have friends.
Yeah.
Like, I don't leave the house.
Yeah. I'm like,
like, it takes literally a crane to pull me out of the house and like, put me somewhere that I don't want to be until I can like go home and just like watch TV and like hole up again.
Totally. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, I just wish we could like hang out. I'm like, I don't hang out. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I occasionally, but
hang out.
But I think that's
I hang out with you because I like you. Yeah, yeah. But it's rare. I mean, there's certain people who I enjoy their company, but like the it's slim, I know, I like being alone, it gets smaller and smaller but
being able, like, one of the great accomplishments of So Sad Today, like, as a Twitter account, is that you talk about anxiety and depression in like a really humorous way. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like normalized and relatable and smart. And so
you loll your way through the darkness.
Yeah, you're lolling your way through the darkness.
And for me, which is it's a coping mechanism.
My preferred coping mechanism.
Yeah, because it gives you, we talked about control,
mm-hmm.
to be able to reframe a narrative like that of something that can be like so dark and so lost. You can just be so lost within yourself. And then to like be able to make it funny and to like, it's probably the illusion of control. I'm never going to like necessarily control all my brain functioning, mm-hmm. or, you know, I don't have control ultimately over my anxiety and depression. I can do all the right things, and I can definitely do things to like alleviate it and make my like relapses much more infrequent. But sometimes you just get sick, and it's like, but to have that, like the ability to reframe the narrative, that's awesome.
Right.
Cause it's like, that's like, you know, you're like, all right, asshole. Cause like, you're like, all right, little, you know, bitch, like,
do you get overwhelmed by the prospect of like going on a book tour? Is that like, because you are like going,
yeah,
you're like one of those rare publishing people like where you actually are getting a book, like book tour, you're like going on tour.
It's small though.
Yeah, but like it's just, yeah, I mean,
it's
like
small.
I'm just flashing back to my book party where Simon Schuster, I had Jim Parsons, you know, at the fucking Powerhouse Arena, and they wouldn't pay for wine.
Oh my God, totally.
They were like, no, sorry, not in the budget. I was like, what budget? You're didn't know there was a budget. Like, are you kidding?
Like, you're like, there's a budget?
There's a budget?
Was I not CC'd
was it
on the
$2?
Budget?
Like, yeah, I'm confused. But you are going on like a tour. Like, it's small, but it's still a tour. And like, do you get overwhelmed by doing all of that? I mean,
I'm not the best traveler in general. Like, there's a reason why before I got sober 13 years ago, I never landed in any city not in a blackout.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I was ever lucid.
Right.
Because travel makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. It's like my safety, you know, of my surroundings. So there's that. Like, right. I get nervous about that. I have gone through, like, some performance anxiety periods in my like life as a writer where I'm scared to like be on state like Albany.
Yeah.
But for me, it's actually funny. It's like, it's more when I'm signing the books that, cause it's like, I usually like haven't like, I don't know, like my blood sugar gets low or some shit. And like, I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, it's again in a situation where I'm like, well, if I got up and like, that would be so weird.
Right.
Because one time I had this therapist who was like, you know, you're never trapped in a situation. You can always leave. And I'm like, that's not really true.
Yeah. No.
Like,
it's kind of not true.
I mean, right. Like, technically, but like, that would
but
be
also
weird.
There are consequences.
I'd be very judged.
Hand, the other side of that sentence is that there are.
I would say, though, if you were the one, it would be on brand.
Why is So Sad Today? Can I not give myself permission? Like, okay, if that was the worst thing that happened, people would probably understand.
Yeah,
like,
get it.
Look what I'm writing about.
Right.
But I don't give myself that permission.
Right.
You know, and that's why I needed to start So Sad Today, because I don't give myself that permission in life to have like I perceive as flaws.
Do you think So Sad Today will ever end, the Twitter account?
I keep saying like after each book, I'm like, okay. But honestly, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a junkie. And like every day there is a moment where I'm like, I hate myself. Oh, let me tweet this. Or like, I'm having a feeling. Let's avoid it. You right. know? Like,
totally.
But great. It's powerful to be able to do that under a persona that's like where you can say things that you want to say, but you don't necessarily have to own it as like, this is me, Melissa Broder.
Even though it's no longer anonymous and hasn't been for some time,
yeah,
I do still feel like a cloak of anonymity. Like, I do still say things on there that I would not say on my personal account.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Lord knows. Facebook.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. Like, your aunt calls you in, like, four, is like, are you okay? You know,
oh,
like,
oh, my just, God. Not a good look. Not a good look. Facebook people, is like a cesspool. People babe out all the time on Facebook. Facebook is a, it's a babe cesspool. It's a babe pool.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's
a babe pool. People lose it on Facebook. I am so judgmental. I'm like, look at this loser. But like, and then I'm like, look at your Twitter account. Like,
I have total Marlon Randos follow me because of Thought Catalog. I would say that like 90% of the people I don't even know. And so I'm like sucked into people's dramas who I've never met them before. And some of them are really dark. Like, there's one having like a true psychotic episode, and he's tweeting about he's Facebooking about the government taking all his money, and like there are people watching him, and people are literally commenting like, are you okay? Call me. We went by the house today. You weren't there. Are you okay? Da, da, da.
That sounds kind of interesting drama wise.
Yeah, but I don't want to see it.
So you don't know the person?
No. But it's weird. Yeah. I don't
Can't
know.
You
I
mute get, it?
I worry about... No, I don't know how to do that. I really don't. What? I worry about getting things through like babe most.
You can always leave, to paraphrase the therapist. You That's can always true. Leave.
Anyways, okay, well, whatever.
That's the thing, right? It's like you can, but,
we
don't.
Yeah. So we're going to read some babe mail, right?
Do you want to read some babe mail? Yeah, let's do some babe mail. All right. Babes, my friend Colleen turned me onto the pod, and I've been obsessed ever since.
Love the name Colleen.
Love Colleen. I have an aunt named Colleen. Love her. Yeah. The first episode I listened to is about Ryan's asshole, and honestly, I relate on so many levels. I've totally been to one of those massages where you're like, okay, whoa, a dick is in my face all of a sudden. Anyway, I digress. I'm writing because I...
Tell me more.
...experienced a truly, babe moment involving a tanning bed. Ooh. I'm a snow white skinned gent living in NY, where the only light that hits my skin comes from my office window. Before a vacation to Mexico, I wanted a bit of a pre-glow, so I went to my local tanning salon, where they happened to have a special unlimited visits for 2 weeks plus a free disgusting tanning lotion. The front desk lady was a total fag hag, and we hit it off, so she upgraded my special to a level 2 standing bed. More tan, less burn. I started off easy for the first few days. I'd go into the little vestibule, strip, lotion up, goggles on, and hit start. After 4 visits, I was still pasty as ever.
Oh,
after
wow.
consulting my mother, who is a tanaholic, she suggested I turn up the power. I also moonlight as a dancer, plot twist, so I have a hard time standing still and would do these pivot turns again and again during the tan. Visit 6, I go in and ask the lady to turn the level up real high.
Oh, no.
Mid-pivot turn, I trip over myself and fall into the big light panel in front of me. Instead of feeling the burn, the panel opens up. I'm confused, but after a few minutes, I realize I've been standing in the dressing room the whole time and actually had not gotten into the tanning bed. Naturally, my first experience... The level is set on high, so I left a sheepishly bright purple and telling my front desk friend that it really worked this time. I've never felt so idiotic in my life, but in my defense, a paper on the wall in the tube-shaped dressing room says, sit back and relax. And yes, I did sit in the chair for one session. I was tired. Needless to say, this is a good lesson, and don't ever go to the fucking tanning bed. You'll get skin cancer and will have a tan for approximately 2 days. Also, I can't wait for merch. Keep up the good fight, babes.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I'm confused.
I think this babe went and thought they were standing in a tanning bed, but they were just in a waiting room the whole time.
Wait. No. Wait, that is actually... By the way, I would do that. Because can I tell you something? Okay, do you know like when you're at a public place and there's a restroom and you knock and it's... Or whatever, it's busy. You know, it's locked or something. So you wait in line and a line forms behind you. I can't tell you how many times I have thought that someone's been in the bathroom when they haven't been. Oh, so a line will form behind me and everyone will be like, God, they're taking a long time. And I'll just open it and then it'll just open.
It's empty.
And then literally the people behind me will be like, you fucking idiot. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I always do that.
I do that all the time. Because
I never, I have like a really a fear of walking in on anyone.
I don't ever, I'm not like, you know what I mean? Because I'm
right,
because
you want to let them poop.
I want to let them poop.
But nobody's pooping.
No one's pooping.
No one's even in there.
Right.
No one's in there.
Yeah.
Wait, that's incredible. And that's kind of lol.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's like the, what higher power is telling you, like, don't tan.
Yes.
Yeah. Love.
I just like poured, whatever. Okay. What? I think I just like, never mind. I thought snot went to my water, but it didn't. Oh, okay.
Good.
I think. Anyway, whatever. It's all coming from the same place.
It's fine. It's true, actually.
Okay. Hey, Lara and Ryan. I think I'm babying out and I need your help. I'm in my early 30s, married to a great guy and working at a new job I find enjoyable.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
It's not.
Sounds like a nightmare. No!
Sounds like she's babying out.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It's not sexy or world changing, but yeah, I like what I do and I'm good at it. I have a solid group of friends who lol with me, a loving, supportive family, hobbies I enjoy. On paper, life is good.
However, I want to kill myself.
I know.
Here's the issue. I'm really hitting babe about my weight. I'm not obese, and most people would probably describe me as chubby rather than fat. Diplomatic people love to say voluptuous because I always gain weight in my tits, which is less cool than it sounds when you're stuck trying to find a size H bras that aren't heinous and emotionally scarring, but I digress.
Fair enough.
My new job is really sedentary, and I'm bingy when it comes to food that's bad for me. I have a really hard time sticking to workout plans, and I'm generally unable to resist temptation, whether it's to eat too much or skip the gym. My husband is a machine who rode bikes 15 hours a week, accelerating his already stellar metabolism, so he's pin thin and never not eating yummy calorie-dense food, aka my kryptonite.
Wow.
The babying comes in because I'm fixated and obsessive about weight loss, but simultaneously angry about unrealistic beauty expectations, unfair expectations for men versus women, etc., etc. This struggle between opposing beliefs is consuming a ton of my emotional energy, probably exacerbated because I'm a Gemini rising.
Oh, shit.
I'm wasting hours looking at Photoshop happy Instagram fitness accounts. I walk down the street and examine other women's bodies to see how mine stacks up. Sometimes I can't tell if I'm eating food because I'm hungry, natural, giving into an uncontrollable craving, not good, or is a fuck you to beauty standards, counterproductive.
I can't believe there are people who like don't do that.
I know.
We all do that?
I know.
I've lost some of my lol ability when I watch shows like Vanderpump Rules because I'm either envious of these thin, sculpted women or angry that I feel pressure to measure up to them, or both at the same time, which is a real mindfuck. My pattern seems to be that I get motivated, start working out and eating right, and then get angry and tired of fighting, so I give up. Tale as old as time, right? On the one hand, the weight creep is real. The weight creep is real, and fatting out of clothes that were once baggy is frustrating and demoralizing, especially because I feel like I'm edging into that age demographic when women who aren't 10 start to become invisible. On the other hand, it feels really shitty and trifling to be so preoccupied with my outside appearance when everything else in my life is going so well. It also makes me feel like a garbage feminist. All this to say, where is the balance? How do I break out of this ragey envy spiral? How do you guys maintain healthy bodies without sinking into the emotional morass of unreachable expectations? Any help, pearls of wisdom, or even trolls to help me find my lols about this would be extremely appreciated.
Babe, she just called our bodies healthy.
I'm like, I'm triggered.
What do you mean?
No, I mean, like, this is like kind of, it voices like a very, I have the same struggle, I think. Is this person? Is this babe?
Yeah, it's very common. I don't have it, but I mean, in terms of like, well, I mean, when I gained weight and then okay.
I love when people who like have never had an eating disorder or like food issues are like, well, I sort of feel.
Well,
I'm like, Ryan, you're fine with
well,
food.
Here's it. I'm pretty okay with food.
You're
I can.
You're totally annoying about food, but it doesn't come from a disordered place. No. It just comes from like you being a Virgo.
I can be totally like Benji Cohan, trust me. But like, I like. Oh my God, David Cohan listens to this podcast sometimes, I think. Maybe he'll appreciate that pun. Anyway, so no, basically like what happened for me was like, you know, I gained weight and then I was tired of doing that. And so I never worked out a day in my life. And then I just got addicted to working out because of the endorphins. That truly is like what has kept me going for the last 3 or 4 years. I've worked out 5 days a week or 4 days a week sometimes. And the endorphins I get from working out are my new drug. I also think it's easier to like be good with exercising when you've been addicted to drugs, because it really is like a new drug. It's like the same thing Percocet used to give me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would tell her to get addicted to Percocet and then watch her life go down the tube and then quit and then find solace in the gym. That's my expert advice. Anyway, but no, you should definitely take this one, Laura.
I don't know. It's just like...
It's hard.
It's hard because there's... I'm the same way where I'll work out or be like eating really healthfully and get strong and like feel good about myself. And I know when I'm feeling, I know when I like my body because I'll like look in the mirror more and like do like weird dances and like just like
wait,
be really
what?
Good to myself.
Weird.
Like I'll just like dance naked in front of the mirror and then I like my body and like the way it looks. It's like just like my own solo moment.
Okay.
But when I'm doing that more, it's because I like the way my body looks. And when I'm doing that less, which has been like pretty much in this year, is like, I don't like the way my body looks. And it's probably just
you don't?
Like, well, no, I like go in and out. Mm-hmm. But like, I Me haven't too. Been working out a lot. And so it's like, it all comes back to like how often I'm working out, because that really does like up my serotonin and like help me in a multitude of ways. But I don't know. I struggle with
it's
consistency
so personal.
And
it's
like
such a personal thing. I actually really, I think giving like fitness tips to everyone is so different.
Yeah.
Everyone
like
is
I don't,
so different.
I can't say like just work out and it's all going to be fine because yeah. I've tried to do that and it's not all fine. Like
I would say this person, okay, first of all, my yeah. oldest relationship is my fucked up relationship with food. So I'm okay. like history of like, you know, eating disorder, disordered eating, like crazy, all the shit, whatever. But what I would say is like the term garbage feminist is like hilarious. Like, is that like something like I'm like, is that like a magazine? Like,
or a bad feminist.
But like, yeah. what the hell? Like, okay, we're going to beat ourselves up for not like looking a certain way. And then we're going to beat ourselves up for beating ourselves up. It's yeah. like, let that shit go. If you feel superficial, allow yourself to feel superficial without like seeing where it charts on your ethical yeah. or moral compass.
That's a world
compass.
We live in. And we don't live in like some utopia.
Or you
where
can try
like
to like, you know, you can try to work with it and be like, I don't want to live in this structure, but don't like shame yourself. Yeah. You know, like, well, I should be better than this.
Yeah.
Like, no,
that's the committee.
Honey. Like, yeah, that's the committee on the committee. You know, mm-hmm. it's like the committee.
It's a shame spiral everywhere
yeah,
you turn.
It's like, it's hard stuff. But don't like beat yourself up for beating yourself up. You know, like put down the rock and pick up a feather. If you're going to beat yourself up.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. I mean, I don't like having, like, I hate not like being doing... able to say like, this is the answer.
There's
or
no
tell
answer.
You, but there, because yeah,
to me, it's so personal.
You can be superficial and deep at the same time. Like,
yeah,
you can have
yeah.
like a terror of death and also be like obsessed about your keratin treatment. Like, you know what I'm saying? You
yeah.
can like
I would say like
being, value humans for who they are on the inside and still judge yourself for who you are on the outside. Like, it doesn't make you anything to have these self doubts.
Yeah. Also, just like be more forgiving of yeah. yourself.
Forgiving,
like, that's the thing.
But also. For me, like being honest with myself about like what makes me feel good mm-hmm. and what makes me feel bad has been really helpful in the process of just like self-acceptance and body acceptance. It's like, okay, if I follow like a bunch of Victoria's Secret models on Instagram, I'm going to feel like shit about myself because I don't have the same body as them. So that's like goes on the bad list of things that I try not to do. Like, do I still go to Candace Swanepoel's Instagram account and like scroll through it and like every single photo? Yeah, I'm obsessed with her, but like it's like all in moderation. I have to know what being really aware of like how things affect me is like a helpful way of like navigating and trying to like be negatively affected less. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know.
I said weigh myself. Like, you'll be happy to hear that.
Oh, thank fucking
God. Yeah,
months
ago. I used to weigh myself every day. Now yeah. I just don't care.
Ryan would literally come over and be like, oh my God, babe, I gained 3 pounds. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, that's literally how a body works.
Yeah.
Like, one
like
day.
You drank something or you didn't poop.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. like, do you need to pee?
I don't do that anymore.
Thank
I do
God.
That.
Oh, you haven't really done that.
No, I haven't done that in months.
I haven't heard you say that
no,
to me
because
in a long
you know what?
It's
because
like a
you
way,
know
it's like, okay,
I know my weight because I know how things fit. That's literally it. Like,
yeah.
if things fit tight, I've gained some weight.
Yeah.
Also, like, I gain weight exclusively in my face and my stomach. So, like, I know when things are...
And that's the same way for me is, like, I judge really by the way clothes fit and how I feel about my body. But it's also hard. I mean, I have a lot of, like, I have a
I call like emotional cutting, where it's like I'll do things like stop working out and just like eat whatever I want just to see what happens, and then slowly watch as like I gain weight and I get too big for like some of my jeans, and then I can like tell myself that I'm like a fat loser, and like it all comes back to like how I want to punish myself for stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know. I just try not
go to therapy.
I try to do that less.
Go to therapy. Not you. I mean, you should go to therapy too, but
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel for her. It's
living
a really
in a body
struggle.
Is really hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It doesn't always
being
do what
like
you
a
want.
Spiritual being, having a human experience. It's like yeah. the worst. Yeah. Like, I didn't ask for this. No, you know, totally. It's like, ew.
You're yeah. just assigned to the body. Like, you're
gonna
literally given a body.
Yeah.
And that's
like,
the body you have to deal with.
Great.
And it's not the one that you're going to see represented all the time.
No.
And like,
also, I personally think, voluptuous women are like really hot, but you yeah. know, but that's my own hypocrisy.
But
I'm
that's
like, I won't give myself that permission,
right.
but I would like, you know, I'll fuck like a woman who's like hundreds of pounds, you know, but yeah. like, I'm like, no, like don't like, you know, you're only going to have halo top
right.
for myself.
Yeah.
Oh
I
my
can't
God,
give
you,
myself
I
that
think
permission.
Halo
and you
top
just hold,
tastes disgusting.
Oh yeah. I'm not, I'm like, if I'm going to go ice cream, I'm going to go like full blown.
I like that I can eat the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm enough. Like, give me something that's like infinite.
Yeah, totally.
And like won't have repercussions.
Yeah.
That's what I've been looking for my whole life.
But yeah, maybe think about what part, like making a list of like what helps you feel positive and what helps you feel negative, and then like recognizing moments when
also,
you're like punishing yourself. Wait, because I like, this is like my exact struggle.
Also, like, do a schedule that is sustainable. I never do something that I know I can't do. I don't set myself up to fail. I set myself up to win. So like, I would never adhere to a workout schedule that I just couldn't do because I knew that I would feel like shit. So I would say start out small. Like, don't get so obsessive. I feel like that's when people make mistakes. You know what I mean? They go 100% or 140%. And then, of course, they fall off because that is not sustainable for their yeah. lifestyle. So
it's
literally just like
a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
And I've been bad about that too, where it's like I would sign up for ClassPass and then I'd be like, okay, it's 6 or 7 days a week and it's like all this, blah, blah, blah. And then.
Yeah, you used to work out twice a day.
Yeah. And wow. then it would like, yeah. and then I'd just burn out eventually. And now that I'm like,
yeah.
yeah. And now that I'm like doing this one workout class, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm vomiting and that's like my body telling me that I should not be pushing so hard.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have to like sprint at like a 9, like I could just do like a fast run and I don't
right.
have to be like the fastest person, and I can slowly build myself up and like just give myself a break. Like, you just have to be like
kind
yeah,
to yourself,
the feather,
so, which is like the hardest thing.
It's
you
so
know?
Hard.
Like, I can hear it in other people, you know, I'm like, girl, put down the rock, pick up a feather,
yeah.
but like, I don't think I've ever picked up a feather, you
no.
know, like, but it's but I can hear it, but you can see it in other people. Yeah, but also, like, get some help with it. Like, we're not, you know, like, find, like, go to a couple nutritionists maybe who have, like, psychological background in New York and, like, get somebody on your team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me personally, with, like, it takes a lot of, like, sailors to keep this ship afloat. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing it alone.
Yeah.
Like, there's
people to touch me every day.
Yeah. Ryan's paying people to – yeah, like, go to a couple – interview, you know, go to a couple nutritionists so you find someone who you're, like – who's cool, like who doesn't suck, you
yeah.
know, and who is like, and then like, you know, you guys can like maybe
plot
work
out
a plan, because it's like so hard to, this stuff is so nebulous and we have so much like emotional connection to it that sometimes it's good to just like, all right, like I'm just going to turn this over to like a professional and like get some help with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's like the hardest thing to do oftentimes,
yeah.
especially when you like
surrender.
Want to just be in control and like
yeah.
be the powerhouse.
Surrender. Yeah.
Ugh, I'm sorry that you struggle with that, but you're not alone. So, the end. okay, here's another one. Ryan and Laura.
Laura?
Again? Yeah.
Ugh, I'm so tired. Are they doing this to troll you?
It's okay. He followed up and with a response. He goes, holy fuck, I can't believe I said Laura, not Laura. I apologize. So, you're
okay.
forgiven.
Well,
but this email might be a lot. I love that.
Oh, okay.
First off, I found you both from my love for Carly. I'm forever thankful. You get me through my weird marketing job at a law firm and make me not hate running. Let's get to it. I'm sharing my babe blackout experiences to help warn other people who use PrEP or want to use PrEP about some of the side effects. I came to NYC from Kansas City as a classy-ish drinker. I'd been drinking since I was 14, and I thought I'd left all my puking and messy moments behind me in high school. Essentially, by the time I got to college, I never puked anymore and was always composed slash had never blacked out. Around my first quarter, I started prep because I wanted to be able to live my full thought truth in the city with less risk, but was not told that as a side effect, I might get drunk really easily and black out. After about 2 weeks on the medicine, when I would get drunk really easily, but it wasn't until I played with my old friend Vodka that things took a turn. One night, I was pre-gaming in my dorm, and the next thing I know, I wake up in my dorm with a link to a YouTube famous girl from my school's blog that has me praying over a random Jewish family. A video of me making I wake up in my dorm with a link to a YouTube famous girl from my school's blog that has me praying over a random Jewish family, a video of me making out with my straight guy friend, and three cigarette burns on my arm. Although this should have been enough warning that something in my system was different, I thought I'd just had my first blackout. The next weekend, I went out with some basic gays from NYU I had never hung out with to get out of my comfort zone. After two shots of flavored vodka, also anyone who willingly buys flavored vodka is def a babe.
Well, we know about that.
The night became spotty and gone from me. I can remember paying for Ubers, binging, bringing my own wine in the club by putting it in my crotch, paying for people's drinks, and then on the way home.
Wait, you brought a bottle of wine to the club?
That's like, I respect that.
I kind of love that, but also his crotch must have looked gigantic.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, in an Uber I pay for, I jump out 30 streets from my home and the boys thought I was being silly. I waddle down to the train, blow chunks, and after being confused, I hail a cab home. I get home, don't have a card or cash, so I ran away from the driver. In the morning, I thought it was all a dream. I let a few weeks go by, and I think that my body has just changed, and I can't drink like a 17-year-old me could. Then my friend comes in town who knows the Kansas City me who can go hard, and she only drinks vodka, so I go for it. I can remember from the night is getting kicked out of the club for blowing a guy in the bathroom. Sneaking back in, hooking up with the guy so vigorously that I faceplant, almost getting pulled into an Uber with the guy who I faceplanted with, and leaving my friend with nowhere to stay, then running from him saying, JK, I'm not coming. And then getting home with my friend, running to my dorm, leaving her downstairs for 30 minutes because I'm passed out. I wish I could say these tales are the extent of my blackout days, but there's more I can't even get into. I don't know if it's more babe that I let myself blackout for a few months before looking into it, or that I kind of enjoyed letting myself be less uptight. I finally called my doctor and figured out what my medicine had been doing, and now I stay away from hard liquor. But I now and then let my blackout alter ego out for a joyride. From a babe who's still not perfected the art of babe drinking on prep. Mm-hmm. Honey.
Well, all that still sounds better than HIV.
Yeah.
You know.
At least you're on prep. I mean, if you're going to be committed to a blackout lifestyle.
But I would also say, yeah, don't drink vodka. Also, people who drink vodka are, I'm convinced, psychotic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, vodka drinkers are truly
mystifying me.
They don't get it. Well, you know what it is for me? So, I love the taste of alcohol. Like, I love tequila. I love wine. Blah, blah, blah. Vodka doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like rubbing alcohol. Everyone knows that. So, people that drink vodka
tastes like poison.
Are people that just want to get drunk with, no calories. So, to me, it's just, like, vodka and binge drinker, like they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I feel like, right?
I mean, that was, like...
Did you drink vodka or you drink everything?
Well, I drank everything, but I drank a lot of vodka only because I thought you couldn't smell it, which you can totally
smell. Oh, you can totally smell it.
But I thought you couldn't smell it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, no, but I did.
Yeah. You did, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of vodka myths, like it's calorie free and you can't smell it. Like every alcohol
it's not calorie free it's not and calorie you can free. Smell it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's but gross. Like, that it tastes, was the it tastes one, truly disgusting.
That was the alcohol that made me black out consistently, and then I just eliminated it.
I liked Jack and Diet Coke. Like I would always do diet mixers. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, let the eating disorder and the alcoholism.
I'm only
tequila. Be together.
I'm a tequila girl.
Yeah, I don't even drink really hard alcohol that often anymore because I just like I don't want to get shit faced. So yeah. It's like a non-starter.
I don't know. Sometimes I honestly get more wasted off wine than hard alcohol. Yeah. In fact, I would say, actually, I do get more shit faced.
But
I
like the wine drunk feeling more than I like a hard
alcohol. I also can get brutally hungover from wine. Brutally. In ways that I can't with hard alcohol. In a weird way, tequila is safer for me than wine.
I mean,
but anyway,
I mean,
does he need help?
The blacking out a lot. Is really scary.
That's and scary. I've never blacked out.
As
ever.
Someone who's blacked out a ton, I don't know. It's
I would say, yeah, either get off PrEP and start wearing condoms, or don't.
Sounds like he was less looking for advice and more issuing a cautionary tale. It was like a PSA.
Yeah.
Of like, totally. If you're on PrEP, you can black out more easily. Yeah, like,
note this. Don't go through
that. That's important, because I was thinking about going on PrEP, sort of.
Go on it.
Well, yeah, but I'm not like fucking people.
So. Yeah.
So why are you going on PrEP?
Well, I mean, if I was fucking
people. So you're thinking that.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, you know, I'm always thinking about it.
I'm so interested in your journey.
Well, I'm always thinking about it, but Jonathan has me on a short leash.
It's an ever-evolving conversation.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't evolve. It stays at the same goddamn place.
But there are, like, here and there, like...
No.
There's no moments.
No.
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 He's like, this is my butt.
I mean, literally, he's like, you can fuck porn stars and sex workers. I was like, great. Ooh, no.
Actually,
no. I have done that. It's fine, but I want to fuck someone who I don't pay for.
You want what we were talking about, which is the love you can't have, like dopamine rush, false intimacy,
I just want to have sex with someone that I don't pay. Is that too much to ask?
No,
for
God's
sake.
You don't want them to be like... performing.
Yeah. I want to like make out with someone at Whack Bar. I mean, I can. It's fine.
You're allowed to.
I think. I don't know.
Just figure out where the line
is. I can definitely make out with someone at a gay bar for sure. That's like nothing.
But gay porn stars, that would be awesome. Because I have like, I love the cocky boys. Do you know? Shout out to the cocky boys.
Jonathan loves
I met them. Tate Hansen, who's like so gorgeous. He's just one of the cocky boys. I don't know if he's doing work with them anymore, but he's like so.
I love that you're versed on like the gay porn news.
I love these gay porn boys because it's like, I don't like really usually like get off all the way to gay porn. Like I usually have to transition to something much like more disgusting and weird.
Totally.
But I like to watch it for like an hour and just like feel the longing and love in my heart for them.
Totally.
And feel like kind of – because I know they'll never want me. So I'm like, oh, this is a perfect person to affix my longing to.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like gay porn.
Sex. Yeah. Like certain – and like especially when it's very – it's so funny too because I'll be watching it. I'm like, oh my God, he really loves him. Like because cocky boys is very – it can be like kind of romantic.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, then
that.
In, like, eight more clips, they're, like, he's, like, fucking someone else. But Tate Hansen's beautiful. And we hung out, which was, like, kind of, I was,
how
like,
did that happen?
I don't even know what I'm going to say. I interviewed him for Vice.
Oh, okay.
And then I was going to be in New York, and we, like, met up. And I think we went to Central Park.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, well, it was kind of cool, but I was also kind of, like, I, like, don't, like, I can't. Like, like, he was just so gorgeous.
Is he bi?
And also, I've, like, seen... he's not bi.
Okay.
Actually, I mean, maybe he has a little bi in him, but like, I'm not going to be the one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've never like affixed myself to a porn star.
Yeah.
Like, found like, guy like, or girl. Which
it's like my bread and butter.
Really?
Oh, I always do.
I
hooked up with my porn star of my dreams.
Yeah. Like a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Who? Or you don't want to
I can't say on the podcast. Okay. But I literally, like, Laura said something about him. And I was like, oh, everyone will know who this is. And sure enough, everyone did.
Did it live up to the fantasy?
Well, I came way too quick. I came like a 14-year-old. So it actually was kind of like interrupt us a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but it was really hot. And he actually, like, wanted to fuck because he was just doing a massage. And then he was like, he, like, fell in love with my ass, which, like, same.
Such a lovely experience.
And was just like, oh, my God, can I please, like, fuck your ass? And I was like, yes. I thought you would literally never ask.
That is
like,
a dream porn. Mm-hmm. You're just getting a massage, and they cannot resist your ass.
He cannot resist my ass. So he tried, and, I mean, it just was really over quick.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
I've just always found like
I get all dreamy about it. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
no, totally.
You fucked like your favorite porn star.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's the most romantic love story I've ever.
I know,
heard.
I know, right? You're like, wow, your love life.
I'm like,
really
that's so beautiful.
Maybe I need to like research porn stars and figure out who I like.
Yeah. Sure.
I just like Google an act, and then I like go down whatever like act k-hole I'm like into at the time.
Yeah, that sounds good.
My porn star crushes are different than the porn. Like some of the people I like really jerk off. To like, it's like, you know, like fat MILF fucks, like, you know, like 20-year-old daughter. And I'm like, these are my friends.
Yeah,
but
totally
like, I don't know
like, oh,
that
honey,
I actually.
Hello. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no.
Or,
yeah.
You know,
I like a going down like a weird rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Not weird to like put assign judgment on it, but just like a.
No,
like
you can
like,
be there and be like, this is weird. I mean,
like
that's
after
fair.
You come, you're like,
Whoa.
But no, like, but there, I have, feel, a, yeah, but I have a little archive of like my links, my faves, you know?
I used to be so ashamed of being into incest porn because I was like, was I molested? But I wasn't. No, and I don't feel like I want to fuck my dad or my brother.
Same.
So it really is just a taboo. It's an ultimate taboo.
Yeah.
And I just get off on it. And by the way, they don't, like, they're so obviously not related in porn.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, I don't know, like, I have mommy issues. I do not want to have sex with my mom, but I would love for like a nurturing MILF with like size like F titties to just like breastfeed me.
Totally.
You know? And then we like bump pussies for like an hour and like, you know, like she's really fat and like that to me symbolizes like she has embraced herself and therefore embraces that inner part of me that my mother couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't like think about that when
stuff
I'm jerking
like
off.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah, totally.
Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Should
we do one more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do one more.
Sorry.
Dear Lara and Ryan, let me start by singing my praises of Lara just because I can. I love her takes on people, places, things,
Beef!
And so respect her sharing little bites of her life
Beef!
With me. Someone I'm going to root for, blah, blah, blah. He says a lot of nice things. But now on to Ryan, the cause of concern in my life right now.
Wait, what?
I'm a 22-year-old gay in the big city of Manhattan with a trendy and well-paying job, good friends, and an Equinox membership.
22? Who's hiring you, honey?
Also, Equinox at 22?
Yeah, wait, what? When I was 22, I was like ordering pad thai and watching Rachel Zoe Project.
Yeah, I was at like 24-hour fitness in San Francisco. Like,
I had an Equinox membership that I just never would go to.
Whoa.
So then I just like let it bleed out.
Wow.
That's but that's cheap. Why I have financial problems. In a sense, and from an onlooker's perspective, I have it all. However, when you peel back the layers of Everlane clothing I keep buying because
Everlane.
Of podcast ads, you'll discover
Neverlane.
A grim secret. My sex life is non-existent.
Aww.
Readers begin to drop. In the first episode of Babe that I listened to, Ryan talked about basically not getting fucked for like 10 years, I think, which is a real fear of mine right now. My last hookup was in early September with a guy who was ugly in a cute way, but also kind of disgusting and an absolute babe. I basically got shit-dicked and as a result went totally soft and kind of ran out of his apartment only to be ghosted by him for 4 months. Another drop in readers. Ever since that experience...
Listen, if you go to Hershey, Pennsylvania... Sometimes you're gonna, I mean, you're gonna, don't be surprised.
It's gonna happen.
There's, don't be surprised.
Of course.
You play with fire, you're gonna get burned.
Or shit on.
Yeah.
Fire shits, right? No? Okay.
Ever since that experience, I've been terrified that I won't get hard the next time I try and enter an asshole. Babe is canceled. Of course, I could always just try it out again and see what happens. And I have plenty of guys who I'd be able to fuck, but I can't help but pull myself away from any scenario that could turn sexual. And it's just not just because of a messy bottom. I think it stems from serious self-confidence issues, being fat in high school, anxiety, being a perfectionist with my physical self, etc. And it doesn't help that I have severe never babe tendencies, but I'm trying to find a way out of this deep K-hole before it gets any worse. My idea is just to be open and upfront with some Marlon Rando about all of this on Grindr, or more preferably and possibly more babier Scruff. But I can understand how this could lead to a probably scenario because I'm terrified of anonymous sex and also vulnerability. Anyways.
Oh, at the same time. That's interesting.
Wow.
Love you, Lara and Ryan. Maybe I'll figure this out or I can wait 10 years to find my own Jonathan.
Yeah, this is really hard. It's hard. I have been there. I have been queer. It's like, it's a, what I want to say is run, don't walk to your nearest asshole because literally like you should have sex immediately. And I'm not being flippant about it. I mean, I don't believe in regrets. I really don't. But I do sort of, if I could believe in them, I would totally, totally fucking regret being celibate for 10 years. It has fucked me up. I'm paying for it now. Oh, honey, the credit card bill came. And it was like, time to pay up.
Yeah.
And,
It's
an ongoing journey for me.
Yeah.
And my need for validation and acceptance and blah, 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 and wanting to feel wanted and desired because I felt so unwanted for so long. Look, it's real. And
and that's a thing that you don't realize about these like issues that you kind of struggle with around like your 20s is that they come back later to haunt
they
you.
Do.
And
they
like,
do.
Yeah. And they will pop up and then the reckoning will come eventually.
Well, Joan Didion wrote about it once in like an essay how she was like, every mistake, every conversation, every fight, everything, it all added up. It all meant something. And I didn't think it did, but it did. And I was like, whatever. I read it when I was like 24, like probably just like popping a pill, being like, whatever. Fuck you, Joan, my queen. She was right. And I know it sounds really impossible, this idea of intimacy and being with someone. And I know the anxiety about not being able to get hard. Oh, I can so relate to this, because when I was in high school and lost my virginity, I shit on my boyfriend, like, a lot. Like, in retrospect, I'm like, God, what was wrong with my bowel situation? It was like, it wasn't just like a speck. Anyway, and I was really, and we had sex for 6 months, and I probably had accidents 3 times. I was so paranoid of having that. So then we broke up, and I never fucked anyone since, till Jonathan, literally, lol. And, but I was so paranoid about having accidents. He doesn't really have that problem because he's a top. But really, what am I saying? I don't even know what I'm saying.
Well, I was going to say to him, like, have also – maybe have a little compassion for the – like, you know, he's talking about the messy bottom. Yeah. It's like, look where you are. You know what I'm saying?
You're a messy,
like,
top.
You're a messy top. Like, it's like, of course – I mean, or you call them accidents. It's not an accident. It's like – probability, like, yeah. You know, I mean, my asshole is like never vacant, like, yeah. I don't know, so it seems, I don't know, you know, maybe you can have some compassion for them too, and yourself. But I also think Viagra to get back on the horse,
yes,
right?
Oh yeah.
It's a good,
sure.
Do a little take a little Viagra, and that way, like, you can have the confidence, and you'll know, although then you might feel like then you can't fuck without Viagra, but I think, like, It's a nice booster seat, or training wheel. It's a segue back, yeah, into the
you
land
should definitely
of the
body, take Viagra. Into the pattern of fucking on a regular basis, yeah, and then your body will kind of pick up.
By the way, I don't think he needs to tell his story to a random on Scruff or Grindr. I don't think he needs to go there.
No,
why does he
need
to talk about that?
By telling your story, you make it your story.
You make, yeah. By the way, you always, I always say, you know,
and
you
this
make
is a, this is a thing that happens, I think, and you can speak to this with people that don't have sex for a long time. And then it starts to, like,
it becomes
fuck
so
with you,
big. It becomes so, like, big. You don't need to make it that big.
Everything that you tell yourself. And
totally.
The more time goes by, the more unfuckable you get, the less sex you have. And it just, like,
don't
compounds.
Give this any more real estate. Do not give it any more real estate. Do not turn this ant into a molehill. Like, do not do that. Do not tell the Marlon Rando that you're fucking your whole fucking sob story. Do not do that, honey.
It's NBD at the end of the day.
Literally,
and
so
honestly,
NBD.
Honestly, like, porn doesn't represent, like, shit that happens.
No.
And, like,
nobody gets shit on in porn unless they want to get shit on.
Yeah. Right. I fucked a guy in the ass.
Or they don't want to get shit on, but they know they're going to be getting shit on.
Right.
And he had, like, a whole thing that happened. And
what are you
talking
about?
Well, I just, like, it was like,
I thought his asshole was clean.
It was, but there's always, like, a variable.
Yeah. I mean, like, you go in
there,
you reach a certain place.
No, but there was, like, a release and then, like, a smell. And it was just like,
well, it never smells like roses.
Well,
I mean,
what do you expect?
But it's like, it's one of the, like,
It doesn't smell like Lalabo Santal.
No, but I was like,
but, like,
this is what happens when you fuck someone in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, this is gonna happen. So
you
it's
need
like,
to just fuck someone and get over it. Seriously. Because,
like,
he'll fuck someone and it will be great. And be like, oh my God, lol, I was so worried about that. And it turned out to be, like, literally NBD.
It's truly NBD.
And if you like a Viagra training wheel, you know, just in case you're worried about that.
Yeah.
And if you can laugh about it in the moment or just be like, whatever.
If,
like,
you can get a well-paying job at 22, you can definitely fuck someone in the ass.
Amen.
Or just, like, stick to blowjobs, like, for a little while too. You
know?
Of
course. Yeah, you don't have to
blow it out.
You're fine.
Why don't you just, like, go into an experience, be like, okay, you know, like, if you're attracted to someone, like, okay, we're going to do blowjobs and then, like, you know, suck my dick and then, like, oh, my dick's hard and I want to fuck him in the ass. Like, great. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already halfway there.
Totally. Yeah.
And just lube
it
up.
A lot of gay guys don't have anal and they consider blowjobs to be sex. So.
Yeah.
You don't have to fuck someone.
No.
But just, like, come.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
There's with
no
another
shit
person.
In the mouth.
Good luck, honey. I think you're going to be just fine.
So
you're
going to
be fine. Stop buying your clothes.
This is, like,
Everlane,
22. Babe, Everlane's not that bad. It's not that great. It was not that bad.
I mean, for 22, it's pretty
good.
This
is a 22-year-old
problem. When I was 22,
this is like 22-year-old
when I was 22,
drama.
I was wearing, like, literal trash bags from like opening ceremony that added 80 pounds to my frame. So, like, who am I to judge? TBA.
When I was 22, I was wearing mesh gloves.
No.
Uh-huh. I was wearing fishnet stockings.
No!
Like, 4-inch high heels, like, mini skirts. I was dressed like a hooker and I fucked people who, like, you know, basically that, like, I should have gotten paid to fuck, except for I never collected any money. Like, I was fucking them just because I was like, free love! But, like, I should have gotten paid for some of the disgusting people that I had sex with.
God.
And stumbling around San Francisco in a blackout. Yeah, it was like, no, like, the look was bad. My hair was dyed jet black.
Wow.
And I had like a beret with like a pink rose applique on
a
it.
A beret?
Yeah, like were you into like a black and pink color scheme?
Definitely. It was like, you know, it was San Francisco like in like the early to mid 2000s. So I was like very like.
Wait, what years did you live there?
I lived there from 2001 to 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was very, I mean, San Francisco, it's funny because every time I go back, I'm like, oh, they're still doing this look. You know, it's the, what's the
normcore.
The pinup girl. They're still doing the Louise Brooks.
The vintage Betty Page.
They're still doing the Betty. So I was doing a Betty, but then I like left and like the Betty left me, you know, but like I'll go back and I'm like,
possessed by Betty.
Oh my God, the Betty's still like, you know, like Silicon Valley has taken over. It's like $1 gazillion to live there, but like Betty's still walking around.
Yeah. Betty's still living, laughing, and loving.
When I was 22, I owned 6 pairs of.
You did?
Yeah.
6?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I had like 2 short pairs, 1 tall, 1 like that laced up, 1 that was like crochet.
That's disgusting.
It was a whole thing. But I also lived in Chicago, so it was like,
Sammy,
so that's a whole,
that's offensive content. That should literally be bleeped out like it's a curse word.
All that to say, shit happens. Babe. When you're 22. Yeah.
6 pairs of Uggs is babe, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting what babe is?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's some babe shit.
I had
shit.
A pair with like wood buttons that then like they like went up to the knee.
Oh.
I mean,
but
okay.
I'm not saying I'm a role model. Never tried to be
a role model.
Okay. Well, right. This guy's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Everyone's going to be fine.
That's fine.
And we're all
fine. For the most part. Like, we're all fucked, but we're also all okay.
Yeah. You know? And the thing is, I think that everyone's fucked.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize it because people are.
Everyone's fucked, so you might as well fuck someone else.
There
for
is
God's
some
sakes.
Solace in, like, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, I don't, like, I'm scared of the dying process, but not to take a dark turn here, but
yeah,
like,
but no, take the turn.
I'm
like
scared
it.
Of the dying process, but I'm like, everybody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody going to do it. So it's like, all right.
Yeah.
And on that note,
you're going to get older. Your body is going to turn into something.
Yeah. And like poop dick, it's just part of
the journey.
Yeah.
To death.
You know what? Nature, something I've realized is that nature makes you work for it.
Yeah.
So like a hike to a lake or whatever, that's like the worst fucking hike and you're so sweaty and you hate the rocks and it's like dusty and your nose feels dry. But then you get to a lake and you're like, oh my God, that hike was like fucking worth it because now I'm at this beautiful lake. It's like anal sex.
Yes.
It kind of hurts. You like ease into it. You might get shit on your dick, but then you have the most amazing orgasm ever and you're like, hell yes, the lake.
Is it dark if I order Postmates from Fresh Corn Grill for lunch and dinner?
What I'm no. Doing now.
That's what I'm doing right now.
The salad's good. Okay, we gotta go.
Okay, we gotta go.
Bye.
Also, buy
Melissa's book.
Melissa Roeder's book. Yeah. It comes out May 1st. It's called The Pisces. It's amazing.
Pre-order on Amazon.
Yeah. I also was checking on your reviews on Goodreads, which are really good, but I read one that was truly lol, which was like, I thought this was gonna be like The Shape of Water, but no! It's some gross, bizarre sex thing. And also, don't read if you're not into period sex. I'm serious.
A lot of the people.
I'm serious.
Yeah, there's period sex, but it's like.
Yeah, who cares?
That's a fact of life, much like.
So yeah. If you are into period sex.
You go into a vagina, sometimes there's going to be blood.
Yeah, for a week.
Yeah.
Out of every
month. I totally fucking agree. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Did you watch Siren?
No.
Do you know what that is?
Is it about a siren?
It's about, yeah, a mermaid. It's like about like an evil mermaid siren.
Ooh.
It's on Freeform. I've been dying to watch
Interesting.
It. And she's like really evil. There's like lots of CGI and it very much aligns with like a mermaid journey.
Ooh.
And I'm so intrigued by
Siren.
Might
have to take a look.
And you're
it
also
very babe.
You're also going on tour, so you're going to do some events around LA.
I'm
so
if do you some live events. In so if you want to come and talk about
yeah.
Google it.
Do you have a website or some
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, it's melissabroder.com.
Where'd you get that?
It's like a WordPress blog that like 10 years ago I had some guy like hack and like I've just kept it.
Perfect.
I love that.
It's like a sad sets website.
All right, well, reader shit. It's good. So,
yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's like reader what? Shit.
No.
And then I read her shit.
Okay.
All right, Smooch, love you.
Bye.
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 Oh, and then donate to our Patreon. Did we talk about that?
Oh God.
This podcast has had 4 false
I'm
endings.
So sorry.
But
I know. Sammy's look, like suicidal.
Here's the deal. Go to www.patreon.com/babepodcast. Follow us on Instagram @babepodcast. email us your questions. We may or may not have answers.
Babepodcast@gmail.com.
So would you guys ever do like a bonus episode?
Well, we are. We're recording our bonus episode tomorrow.
It will be out by the time this airs.
Oh, okay. But only Patreon members can get it.
If you're not signed up for the Patreon and this episode inspires you to sign up for the Patreon, just know that waiting for you are two full-length bonus babe episodes.
They're sexy.
They're sexy.
I'm proud of our bonus episodes. Some people would just, you know, they'd be filler. But no, we give it our all.
Yeah. So, okay, that's really it. We're actually ending the podcast.
Yeah.
This is it.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.